drink, and the devil had done with the rest. Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum. The mate was fixed by a bosun's pipe. The bosun brained with the marlin spike, and Cookie's throat was marked belied. He had been gripped by fingers ten, and there they lay, all good dead men, by break of day in a bosun den. Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
15 men of a whole ship's list.
Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
Okay, I was wondering.
Are we doing a show?
Yeah, let's do a
show.
Are
we gonna do one?
Well, I mean, we're gathered. We're together. We've assembled.
When two or more of you are gathered in the name of comics, so shall be comaholics.
And there are brews within reach.
Comaholics assemble.
Yo, beer. That's my battle cry. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comaholics. This is episode...
We don't know. What?
Is it 17?
Really? Yeah, because we did 16 last time, right?
Or do
we
do... I don't remember.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just making up a number. I'm going to
call
go with
it
that.
17.
We're going to call this 17. If it says 18 when we post this, then we were wrong.
We'll cut and paste if we have to.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
So yeah, here, we'll do it this way. 15, 16, 17,
18.
Okay, there. Now, whichever one it happens to be, we can cut and put it in there in the right spot. Right.
Also, joining us is our special guest, the Huckster. He's appeared
be
on...
here?
He's appeared on...
You've been on Comaholics Light.
Yeah,
I've been on Light. I've actually been on the full-blown version once, so visiting.
Well, you were in the studio audience, but now you're more of like a featured guest here tonight.
Just like the old man.
Right, Turd Ferguson couldn't be here tonight.
Yeah, I invited Turd Ferguson, but
he had some hemorrhoid cream to put on or something.
Well, yeah, he's really old. It takes him a lot to get out of the house, even though he's like a block away.
Dude, it takes me a lot to get out of the house. It's just like, yeah, well, there is beer. I might as well go.
Which we'll talk about that later.
Yes, because we do have beer.
Special beer.
That is beer brand beer, as far as I can tell. Okay. So anyway... but this is Comaholics, and as we are wont to do, we do our first segment talking about some of the random books we've been reading over the past month or so. Segment two, what are we going to talk about for segment two?
We're going to do Dark Crystal.
Okay, we're going to do the new
Volume
Dark Crystal
one.
Creation Myths hardcover from Arkea. Segment two will be...
You know what? I want to save Ultimate Spider-Man for last. So
okay, segment, so Invincible will be the
Invincible
second?
Invincible Volume 2.
Or actually, will be third segment will be Invincible Volume 2.
No, yeah, you're right.
Right.
You're
right. And then the fourth and final segment will be Ultimate Spider-Man, taking a look at the series that debuted in, I think it was 2008.
Yeah, we're going to briefly discuss Ultimatum, go into Ultimate Spider-Man, leading up to the...
Are we going
to
talk about the new series, or are we cutting
it
off with
I've
the death
it.
Of Spider-Man?
I've read it.
Okay.
You know...
I haven't read, like, the last two issues, but...
So I've been sniffing glue all night. I'm totally stoked. It's going to be a great show. I'm either going to pass out and, like, end up on the floor, and dirt will take over the whole show with the Huckster. Or it could be the best show ever.
Yeah, well, okay, that's not going to happen, so... we'll just kind of see what happens. But since segment one is talking about random books, you want to get started with your stack?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And plus, I've also been reading a lot of digital comics, too, so it's kind of like a toss-up here.
Oh, do you have your list of digital in front of you that you can talk
pretty
about?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much.
All right.
Well, we'll talk about the paper issues.
Okay.
Swamp Thing, are you still current on that?
Nope. Nowhere near current on that one. But go ahead and talk about it.
Well, at this point, Alec...
Holland.
Holland has basically come back... he is not Swamp Thing. It's almost like the Incredible Hulk. The new Incredible Hulk where, like, they've split.
Right. So Alec is a dude and Swamp Thing is a monster.
Yeah, and, like, Swamp Thing has, like, found Alec, who pretty much, like, has memory recollection, but he's kind of fuzzy.
Like, so they were joined at one point, now they're separated.
And he's a little hazy on the details, but he knows... It's like he knows the introduction, you know, the synopsis, but, like, he hasn't figured out everything yet. So anyway, Swamp Thing finds him and tells him that he is a part of the, how does Swamp Thing refer to it? He's part of the Earth and everything.
The Green?
The Green. He's a part of all of it. And anyways, Swamp Thing is seeking him out because he needs him, basically, to fight what is this, like, basically this corruption, this evil that's fighting the Green.
So, okay.
Yeah, there's that. Uncanny X-Force? No? Do you read that title?
No.
At all?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I haven't read it since Kid Apocalypse.
Okay, well, it ends. There's an ending here. This is like the Archangel series.
The Dark Angel Saga.
Yeah, the Dark Angel Saga. I've read all the way up to current to 19, past Dark Angel. In 18, which I thought was a great wrap up to the Dark Angel Saga. It's the only Uncanny I read. It's really the only one I've really explored.
It's the only like X-Men book, right?
Right. It's the only X-Men book I think I collect. Because I'm weird like that. But it's a great story about how Archangel basically is taken over by Apocalypse. And originally Apocalypse was the small child,
right.
You know, and then he's killed. And then Apocalypse takes over Archangel in a very sneaky manner. He kind of, like, sneaks in, and at the same time, Psylocke is trying to help Warren fight Archangel. And ultimately...
So the Archangel ends up actually being Apocalypse trying to take over his body?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, you know, because it's Angel and then Archangel.
Right.
Archangel is Apocalypse. In the end, of course, Apocalypse overcomes Warren, and decisions have to be made, and Warren is killed... supposedly, but then Warren comes back with absolutely no memory recollection of himself. And it's funny, the artwork changes in 19, and Warren's character, he actually thinks he's an angel. And this actually carries over in Wolverine and the X-Men, which is another current title I'm reading.
So you do read that X-Men book?
I'm reading that digitally.
Okay.
So yeah, I guess I'm reading that one too. But I don't count that as... Well, I guess it is an X-Men book.
It is technically an X-Men book.
And that one, Warren totally thinks he's an angel. In fact, there's a scene in Wolverine in the X-Men. You know, if you don't know the story, Wolverine's like trying to start a new school.
Right.
I think he takes over the West Coast Avengers mansion. I'm ranting now. But...
well, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Warren, in that title... The artwork in it is almost comical in his character. He actually, Iceman goes to track him down, and Warren is actually like in the backyard with this like family, and they're burying their dog. And Warren's like, "Oh, I'm an angel. I'll bring your dog back to life." It's just like really bizarre. So, but that's like a tangent of mine of what X-Force.
Okay.
But anyways, Uncanny X-Force at this point and the most current issue. Warren is not in the picture. You know, it's still the core group. Psylocke, Deadpool, Wolverine. What's the guy that has
the
ship?
He's the French thief guy.
Yes. It's on the top of my head, and I can't think of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, brother. Anyways, moving along. Cross Badlands. Have you read that yet?
No, and I'll tell you why I haven't. We got we got one copy in at the store, and you got it. So I didn't get to read it. Killen didn't get to read it. We are waiting for more copies to come in. So you are the one guy in our store who got it. So
well, thank you, because you know I'm a I'm a Crossed Uber fan.
Yes.
So I buy every offshoot of Crossed. And what's special about is it that yes, what's special about Badlands is it's back to the original Garth Ennis, Jason Burroughs team up.
Well, because Badlands is the new ongoing series.
Right.
So they're kicking off with the first arc.
Right.
Those two guys are coming
back. But the original Cross, before Family Values, because after the original Cross, Jason Burroughs only did the covers.
Right. And David Lapham took over.
Right.
Doing the...
So this is kind of, to me, it's special.
I get so misty-eyed thinking about Cross.
Well, and then the biographies and the... Or not biographies. What do you call it when they're talking about... just the articles in the back... Jason Burroughs talks about how he was glad to actually take the reign again on the story. Mm-hmm. He also felt that the other, like Jason, or just like Lapham did, they stuck true to the main Crossed where main Crossed I don't know how you describe it, like a the genre guidelines to how Crossed is to be written. In the sense that if you want to read Crossed to try to figure out what the zombies are about, where this is going. Is there an end to all this? You're fooling yourself.
Yeah, that's not the point.
That's not the point at all. The point is to write a great horror story. You know, and right. I think they really hit the mark on Badlands. So, good stuff. Detective Comics?
Yep.
What you think? Turn it over to you on this one. I want to hear what you think of Detective.
Let's see, what was... issue 4 was the last one?
Yeah.
That's, man, all the Batman books kind of...
Okay, well, we'll bust meld it out together here. That's here. Why we got these here, so we can...
Because there, I mean, there's only like 5 Batman books on the market. Let's see. This is the one.
I know, he's like the Deadpool of DC.
Oh, okay. So he's been captured. They've got him all tied up. They're using him like the, like in an auction, whatever. They're trying to raise money to see who gets to kill him. And they've got him tied up like a puppet. And he
escapes. The puppet master. Puppet master of all this.
And they're like, the guy's collecting like body organs.
Right.
I mean, it's. The gory one.
Right.
It's like the horrific Batman book.
Here's my one beef about Detective. Is they got away from the whole murder mystery thing quite a bit. Whereas I felt Detective before they restarted it was definitely a murder mystery comic.
Right.
And I thought in the first couple issues here, I was like, oh, they're on the right track still.
Right. Because you've got the murders, you've got like Joker's face being nailed to the wall, you know, and...
But the last two issues, I'm kind of thrown back a little bit.
It definitely feels like they're doing a setup, because it's like the murderous family, you find out. That's kind of...
And it ties into the Gates of Gotham, too. So...
Which Snyder wrote that also, right? He's the one doing this one.
Of course. Yeah.
No, this is Tony Daniel.
No, I'm sorry, I'm confusing. I'm throwing it off. That's the original.
That's Batman.
That's just Batman. Okay.
Yeah. You're thinking of the Owls,
right? The Owls,
right?
Yeah.
This is the one where it sets up the family, and there's like the whole family member, and they all want to take turns killing them, and it does feel like setup to me. It feels like they did this story to introduce these characters. Then, you know, everything blows up, people disappear, they can't find the bodies, so you know they're going to come back at some point down the line. So this is like your introduction to these new villains.
If it goes back to the whole murder mystery, what I think the true Detective Comics should be.
Right. Well, because that was supposed to be the point, was that Batman was the superhero guy.
Right.
Crime fighter. The funky
crime
gadgets
fighter.
And beating up people.
Right,
and
but he's ultimately a crime fighter.
Detective was him trying to solve the mystery, solve the murder, solve who stole the jewels, you know, do that kind of stuff. And they did, because you don't, I mean, you find out, like, yeah, okay, it's this family, whatever, but you don't really know who they are and why they're doing
it. I'll give
it,
you that, but it just seems like the setup, the frame flow, the content of the frames doesn't have that murder mystery feel.
Well, no, I'm agreeing with you on
that.
I'm saying that's what it used to be, and they have gotten away from that.
Will they wrap it back around? Like you said, if they're just staging the character definitions, then yeah, I could see
the
change.
Well, okay, the question is, what's the next arc going to be?
Right.
And the next arc, if the next arc, starting with issue 5, goes into something completely different, I'm going to feel a little disappointed.
Right.
But there have to be... strings, threads from this story that keep going into the next arc. And if not, then it's just going to feel like...
like another...
like they're just filling issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Walking Dead, up to 92.
Mm-hmm. Has anything happened yet?
That's my biggest complaint.
Yeah. You keep getting a lot of build-up for something. I hope he's not stretching it out all the way to issue 100.
Actually, this... this is a good setup into... this is where the guy that's been, like... issue 91 ends with the guy with the binoculars.
Oh, and he says there are other people out there, other groups, and he's, like, the courier between them. That kind of... my problem with that is, of course they know there are other groups out there. They've run into them before. They went to the prison.
Right.
They found other people. They went to this neighborhood
and
found
other people. So what's the big surprise?
So it's just that there are other colonies out there? That's supposed to be the big deal?
And then they're trading with each other?
I kind of feel like that guy's a liar.
I was about to say that.
Okay,
I think this guy might be lying.
I just kind of get this feeling like that's too...
like all of a sudden there's commerce. You know?
That's just too easy.
Right.
Like, it just kind of feels like if...
it's like all of a sudden now it's Thunderdome and...
Right.
What's the name of the town from Thunderdome? It's like the Bomb City or something.
I don't
like
remember.
Atomic City.
I just remember Two Men In or One Man Leave.
Yes.
But,
and Tina Turner looked hot.
for once.
Yeah.
So anyway, oh, I'm sorry if you're a big Tina Turner fan. I didn't mean to offend you there on that one, but yeah, Kirkman has this thing where he sets things up so you get real comfortable with it. And then as soon as you're comfortable with it, that's when the status quo changes.
Which we're going to get at later in the show when we get into Invincible, which Kirkman
also
does.
Writes. Yeah. But yeah, I am kind of worried, though, that
It's getting a little stale.
If this guy doesn't turn out to be some sort of like flim-flam, shim-sham, trying to take them all for a ride type of deal,
right.
If it turns out that... Oh, yeah, well, you can go to Denver, and there's a group. You can go to Dallas, and there's a group.
Yeah,
you know,
that would be lame.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, these people have to be special. They have to stand out in some way. Otherwise, who cares? So, all right, next up.
Batgirl.
Let's see, Batgirl 4. Oh, is that the one, her mom returns?
Yes.
Her mom returns, and...
she fights the Mirror Master.
There's one more after this.
Was that his name, the Mirror Master?
I think it's just the Mirror, isn't he?
The Mirror... It's probably in here. I don't know. I thought we were pretty much at fours all around.
No, fives have started coming out. Oh, have you not come in and picked up your comics?
Yeah, I picked them up. I'm current. It's probably still in the stack over there.
The ones you haven't read?
See the short stack there of the three tall stacks? That one I haven't finished. So, listen to you talk to me about being current.
Huh.
More current than you are.
Yeah,
like,
well, hey.
Shoot.
I'll tell you
shoot.
What. She sits down and has a meal with her mom in a diner.
Yeah.
In the next one. So, huh.
Oh, I'm crushed.
So there's more with the mom.
You know what? I'm just going to burn that issue now.
Yeah, you should. You should. But I do... I still don't like the roommate. I don't like her roommate.
I want Stephanie Brown back.
Yeah, well, fat chance that's going to happen.
I think Stephanie Brown should shoot Barbara Gordon in the back again. And then take over. I just had more fun with Stephanie Brown being like this teenage girl and going through, you know.
It didn't take itself as seriously as
this.
Yeah. And there's only so much I can take of, oh, why have I been given a second chance?
I
don't understand.
Yeah, I know. It's like, move on and just be a badass.
Like, what
already.
A chick book. You know what I mean? It's
okay,
like,
so that's... I'm kind of waning on whether or not I still want to collect this.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I still kind of like it, but the roommate thing...
Like, they're canceling OMAC.
Like,
you know, and I'm almost like, you know what? Cancel Batgirl.
No.
OMAC.
No. OMAC's going for a variety of reasons.
Avengers Sanction?
I have not read that at all. I know it's Cable trying to kill the Avengers.
Yeah, and that's pretty much... You just summed up that issue. That's pretty much it. There's not much depth to this. I'm sorry, I'm passing these around here. I usually try to pass these around to the quote-unquote studio audience so they can kind of...
Oh, thank you. So they know what we're talking about?
Yeah. Open them up. Feel free to fondle them. Whatever you want to do.
Ooh.
Take them out of the sleeve.
Ooh la la.
Ooh. Okay, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, the Avengers team comes and... Oh, brother. Yeah, Cable's involved. Pretty much what you said. Yeah.
I mean,
Cable's there to kill the Avengers.
Here's the thing.
Basically what it comes down to.
You know Cable's not going to kill the Avengers, so is there anything else to the book that hooks you or attracts you? So do you not want that one anymore?
It's only four issues.
So you just go ahead and get it?
You threw it in my stack, so I guess
Well, we gave it to everybody who got Avengers.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Uncanny X-Force, I didn't even open the final issue of Dark Angel Saga, because I thought it was that good. I went and got the scan.
It's so good, I don't want to read it.
I mean the digital copy.
What was that?
Nothing. How about Action Comics?
What
number
about
four?
Five is out.
He's fighting a robot.
What about in five?
I don't know. I haven't read five. I don't think I've read five. What happens in five?
It talks about him coming to Earth.
I think I might have read five. I'm not sure.
It's got the rocket on the cover.
I've read a lot of comics lately.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of freaky.
Whew.
Actually, 5 was the first copy of Action to come with a downloadable
code.
Oh,
yeah. Who's the guy in the suit again? How did that all transpire in 4?
Basically, he's the new Metallo. He's Lois Lane's boyfriend.
Right.
And he basically wants to...
Was he like a military guy
or
something?
And he wanted to prove to her that he can be a Superman type also. But then Brainiac, like, infects him.
Oh, yeah, and there's, like, these aliens, the collection or whatever. They're, like, collecting Earth for,
and then,
like, they're going to break it down into...
And then Steel appears.
Okay.
Because John Henry Irons, he's the inventor who came up with the suit, and he feels responsible. He knew that Lex Luthor was involved and all the stuff was going to go bad, so...
Question. Yes or no? Do you like Action Comics more than Superman?
Yes.
Me too.
Pretty easily.
Yeah.
There's not much... Superman has been very disappointing because it's been basically just, hey, look, giant alien...
Right.
Punch it.
Right. And then... It's like the kids' comic.
Train's falling off the track. I better
get it.
Yeah. Whereas Action actually feels like they have like a big storyline in mind.
Right.
Whereas opposed to Superman just seems like you're basic.
Well, and you're getting some background, too, with Action.
Well, and that's kind of the point of Action is it's 5 years in the past. So you will get the background that you don't get. But
okay, ASM. The Vulture is back.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's a GoDaddy commercial. There's chicks in...
What? Oh, I see. The television's still on. Wow. All right, enough of that. Concentrate,
yes.
Dirt.
Oh!
Dirt. Concentrate, focus.
Oh, you got rid of the girls in the GoDaddy commercial.
ASM.
I wanted to see this.
Amazing Spider-Man.
Vulture, are you current?
Actually, I think I'm one...
675, I think, is the last one. Maybe 676. Actually, upstairs. I haven't read that one yet.
Okay, so the Vulture has the new team of thieves.
Right.
The kids that he's...
The kids that he's... He's manipulating these kids by giving the opportunity.
Do you have Black Cat on the cover?
No, not in this stack.
I wonder if that one's out yet. Well, we get some Marvel books in advance now, and I think that one's come out already. The next one after that. So the latest one actually is the Black Cat. She gets framed.
Okay.
And Spider-Man knows she's innocent because he was with her at the time that she supposedly did this robbery.
Right.
And so he's trying to prove that she's innocent. While he's trying to prove that she's innocent, he gets Matt Murdock, Daredevil, to help him out. And while they're trying to prove it, she escapes.
Okay, no, I've read that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she escapes from the police. So she looks guilty, and now she has committed a crime.
Right, yeah. You have to pardon me. I've been reading a lot of Ultimate Spider-Man, so like my synapse and dendrites are crossed here on the whole ASM, USM.
Wow, dendrites.
Yeah. Did you still enjoy reading?
Oh, I still like Amazing a lot.
I have to say, and you know this from what I collect, I've been veering towards DC more than Marvel.
Right.
But, you know, ASM is still my true staple.
Yeah.
And Wolverine and ASM. And Deadpool, which we're going to talk about Deadpool later because it's made me cry. Deadpool ends in issue 50. We all know. We don't know how it's going to end.
Supposedly.
Yeah. Been spending a lot of money on...
There's a lot of, like, characters... This character's gonna die, where either they don't, or they're Johnny Storm. Oh, hey, bye.
You could chop Deadpool's head off, and
it grows a
Deadpool.
New Deadpool. That's the current story. So like I'm saying, I don't know how they're gonna work that out.
And they have a story with a dead Deadpool, fighting Deadpool.
But I did like the Vulture stuff that happened in Amazing Spider-Man. I thought that was a good idea.
I liked
young kids.
The Vulture stuff that happened before,
Grim Hunt.
That was really good.
Which, by the way, I have the trade of that, but I haven't read it yet.
Okay. Well, then I won't talk about that too much.
Hand me an Oktoberfest when you open that fridge, by the way. Time for another beer.
You know it's January, right?
Yeah. I go for the freshest beer possible. This is made for October this year.
Do you need another beer?
I do need a beer me.
Alright, so anyway.
Okay. Everybody grab a beer. This is Comaholics. Those of age, because we know there's some underage.
And if you're underage, just stick to shots.
Mm-hmm.
Some shooters.
Maybe
some mixed drinks. Be a girl drink drunk.
Yeah.
That's what the world needs. More girls.
Bartles and James. Do shots of Bartles and James.
So is this the end of your paper copy stack?
No.
Oh, God.
Crap. You're about halfway through?
Green Lantern Corps?
Nope.
Okay, then we'll talk about Aquaman?
Yes.
All right.
Favorite book?
Really?
The last issue was a little weak.
Yes. All right, that's my big complaint. Really liked it up until this
the
last
way
issue.
They've rebuilt Aquaman, though, and brought him into the DC universe. I mean, I like the way they don't take it seriously.
Right.
You know, I mean, yes, there are murders happening and people's lives are on the line, blah, 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 whatever, but it's still like, oh my God, Aquaman saved us? Crap. You know, that whole type of thing going on.
Like, at the end of this one, he's like, I still don't like Aquaman.
Right.
You
know? Yeah. Call him Aqua Dog. I don't know. But the latest issue was a letdown because it felt like It's not like the editor said, "Oh,
they
you got to wrap
step
that up."
Back. They took a step back.
He's like, "You got to wrap that up. We got to move on to something else." And so they're just like, "Okay, well, we're gonna go down in the trench. We're gonna save everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, there's an earthquake, and they're all
we're gonna put a big old
yeah.
rock on them and kill them, and we're done."
So that was a little anticlimactic, but I like Mira and Aquaman. I like now that they have Aquadol.
They won me over in the first issue, so I'm hoping that they don't kill it for me.
But so far, I'm really digging the book.
Wolverine, the main title.
Let's see. The latest issue is Kingpin and the old and the other the old Chinese guy are trying to work out some sort of deal.
Yes, they're meeting for a deal. Somehow Wolverine is just hanging out with his girlfriend.
Yeah, and he just happens to be
there. Yeah, he just happens to be
hey, look, Kingpin's having a meeting in the middle of this park. I better go check that out.
And
while I'm eating this hot dog.
Oh, Sabretooth is... I think it's the robot Sabretooth.
Yeah,
though.
Sabretooth can't be back.
No, it's the robot Sabretooth.
It better be.
Yeah.
Because Sabretooth is supposed to be dead and gone forever.
Wolverine
but
chopped
it
his
is,
flipping head off.
It is the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can be Colossus and not be dead.
That's the difference between DC and Marvel. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to killing their characters off, I think. They do it in a completely different fashion.
Well, okay, anyway.
Yeah. Okay, back to the Owl
okay,
Society,
now you're back to
Batman.
Scott Snyder Batman.
And I'm a huge Scott Snyder fan, but I'm... okay. This title, I love the writing. I hate the art.
Yeah, I agree on that. Greg Capullo,
but
is
I love
not
the writing so
artist.
Much. I'm still collecting it, even though I don't like the art. Is that am I? Is there something wrong
every
with
adult male who's in between the age of like 25 and 45 looks exactly the same in this book?
Big chin, broad shoulders.
Big chin, short dark hair.
Yeah,
every guy. Every single person.
I gotta show this to you.
Here's my problem. Here's my problem.
Yeah, you're
with
an
this
artist,
book.
So I mean, I know you. I mean, look at this man's chin. Look at Batman's
it's
chin.
It's Mr. Incredible from The Incredibles.
Yeah, it does look like
and
that.
And they all have these big chins. And some, you know what? It's bizarre, though, because some of the art, like that, if they would take his chin out, I would love this.
Just Photoshop out the
just
chin.
Just Photoshop out the chin. And this is really cool. It's a nice picture. But
here's my problem with the story, though. Okay.
It's just so you're just...
You've got... Okay, Bruce Wayne... Batman apparently owns all these properties all over Gotham, has no idea that there are these hidden owl apartments in all of these buildings, but yet once he finds out that there's one, he just happens to find all the rest. Like, he's lived there his entire life.
No.
He's owned a lot of these buildings.
You're missing something there. They're also talking about how he's been doing this since he was a little kid. He's been investigating this since his parents' death.
But as soon as he finds one of these hidden apartments, he then finds 30 of them all over town.
No, I think I could be wrong, but I think they point out in here that as a kid, he had pretty much figured them all out. So then as an adult, he put it off after being locked up in that attic for 2 weeks or whatever, but then he comes back to it. Like, he never lets the mystery go.
I don't know.
I really like the story concept. I like the writing style.
I like the idea of having this...
I like how it ties into Gates of Gotham.
Bilderberger group, this Bohemian Grove society, which also kind of ties into All-Star Western. Have you been reading those?
No.
Because they have this secret society in Gotham City.
Is it the owl thing? The
Antebellum. I don't... They have the signet rings, but they're not dressed up in the...
All right, we better hurry here. Blackhawks?
We're only about a half hour of the show.
Oh, really? Okay.
Blackhawks is canceled.
I know. I don't even really care.
It's one of the ones ending.
Is it ending at 6 issues?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know enough background about the characters. Like, I don't mind the comic.
It's the G.I. Joe team of the DC Universe. The Blackhawks was a World War II comic. They were World War II fighter pilots. Mm. And
they're not fighter pilots in this. They're more like a mercenary.
Well, they're the G.I. Joe team of the DC Universe. They all have the code names and the funky skills and whatever.
Like Canadia?
Right. But overall, I enjoy the book, but it doesn't...
I'm just pissed that they're canceling it.
It just doesn't stand out as like, I must read it. Like,
let's go over, what are they canceling it? OMAC, Blackhawks...
Static Shock. Men of War... Oh, crap.
I'm doing it to you, aren't I?
Yeah, I wasn't ready for this. I've had a couple drinks already. Let's see here. Not Legion Lost, which is surprising. I don't have it with me.
All right, well,
I don't know.
Do your own research. Figure it out.
But we're
supposed to have our facts.
But a lot of books that are replacing those books still tie in with the books.
Right.
So, like, for instance, there's a group called Ravagers spinning out of Teen Titans, which I think Static Shock is going to be in it.
Right.
Men of War is getting canceled, but it's being replaced by a different war book.
OMAC's going to make love to the satellite in space and move on to, like, Mars.
Well, I think OMAC is going to tie in more with Frankenstein, maybe. I don't know. Oh, but anyway.
OMAC was starting to grow on me. It's kind of like the Hulk.
It's a hard book to get into.
Robot Man.
Like, you have to be in the right mode.
Yeah.
But
I liked it because it was kind of a shift of what I was normally reading.
Right.
Like, it was the artwork was a kind of like reminded me like a 90s retro bizarre twist.
Well, Keith Giffen, who was doing the artwork on that, he had this weird thing he did for a long time where all his pages were either a full page or they were broken into 9 panels.
Right.
And now in this book, he gave up on the 9 panels, he did 6 panels.
Yeah.
So it's either a full page
or
it's broken into
this?
6 panels.
What is wrong with you?
But that was his big thing for a long time. And,
okay.
So.
How about New Guardians?
Nope, I haven't read
it. Okay.
Well, you can talk about it.
I just threw it on the floor.
Tell me about it. Is it worth reading? Just tell me that.
He wasn't that upset that
I'm
it fell on the
that
floor.
I'm not that involved with the issue. I think it's one of those issues where like I'm collecting it because I'm a Green Lantern fan. But I could not tell you the story.
Wow. That's pretty bad. That does not speak highly of the book.
Like, I just probably just scanned right through it.
Mm. Okay, next up.
American Vampire. They did a restart.
They did a restart? What do you mean they did
not a restart, but it's a new storyline. Excuse me.
New arc.
Yeah. It's taking place in, like, the late 50s. It's kind of like the Greaser... what's the guy?
So they left the...
Yes.
The 20s and the flappers.
And now they're
and all
in the 50s.
Stuff. Okay.
I really like it. And, of course, it's another Scott Snyder title. And I'm a big, huge Scott Snyder fan.
You would make
fan.
Out with Scott Snyder, don't
I
you?
I do. If he's at C2E2, I'm in trouble.
I think he's in trouble.
There's
a man dry humping Scott Snyder!
And it's Raphael Albuquerque again.
Yeah.
So, same core team. And this guy's a vampire hunter. Those aren't actually... He's not a vampire. He's got teeth made of wood that he puts
fake
in his
vampire
mouth.
Teeth,
yes.
So he can pass himself off as a vampire?
No, no. So when he kills the vampires, all he has to do is bite them.
Why does he bite the vampires?
It's like his thing. it's good. Okay. It's really good.
All
I
right,
like all it.
Right.
But you haven't read it, so that's really as far as I want to go. How about Kick-Ass 2, Issue 6?
I am not up on Kick-Ass.
Oh my god, it's so good!
Last time I read it, they killed the dog.
Oh, you're missing so much.
I know, but...
Red Mist has his team of evil minions, including the Russian badass chick with the big boobies. He has staged this thing that's going to happen on, like, Times Square or something like that. I can't remember exactly. And Kick-Ass is going to stop it.
Okay.
And in the end, there's this big showdown of, you know... Kick-Ass and all the good guys versus Red Mist and all the villains. And that's pretty much how it's like building up to this. So there's a lot of build-up going on here.
And Hit-Girl's back.
Hit-Girl's back.
She tried to live the normal life.
Well, Kick-Ass's girlfriend has been raped.
Oh.
Yes. His dad is dead.
Right, I knew that happened, yeah.
And basically, Hit-Girl says, grow some balls. Let's go get Red Mist.
So they go to hunt him down?
And one of my favorite panels, I think, if I were to like pick the most favorite panel of 2011, is Hit Girl holding her two samurai swords, flicking the bird on both sides, and in her caption it says, Avengers effin' assemble a-holes. It's hilarious.
So they do still kind of...
it's still that raw, gritty...
Well, but I mean, there's still kind of that meta... It's a superhero book.
Right, but
that
they're still fans.
In a world
but they're
that,
fans.
Right.
Yeah.
Where they read comic books and watch the superhero movies.
If you like Kick-Ass 1, keep current on Kick-Ass 2. I'm a huge fan. Mark Millar, Romita Jr., thank you. For continuing it on. Because I thought after a while they weren't going to do another Kick-Ass, but Kick-Ass 2 is a hit. You should be collecting that.
And someone gets hit.
Yeah.
So, you know, it all ties together.
Witch Doctor the Resurrection, I will not carry this anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That bad?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't even want to talk about it. I'm bored with
okay,
it.
Okay, well, we'll drop you from Witch Doctor then.
Okay, The Flash.
Love The Flash.
Yes.
I like how they've turned him into, he thinks as quickly as he moves now.
Right.
He's able to plan ahead on all this stuff. His friend is getting cloned, basically, by, he can regenerate body parts, so they cut body parts to grow new ones.
And his clones are,
but the clones, is it, if I'm remembering correctly,
the clones are basically against the original, his friend.
Like, well, his friend doesn't want to do all this stuff.
Yeah, his friend abandoned his clones.
Right, because the clones want to commit crimes and take over the world, basically, and he doesn't. So Flash has got to figure something out. Did they ever, I don't remember, have they ever resolved the whole Flash was framed for murder? Did they resolve that whole thing, or did that just kind of disappear?
That disappeared.
Okay.
I think they knew that wasn't going anywhere.
I wonder if that's going to come back at any point.
It's a pretty quick issue to read, The Flash.
Oh.
Yes.
The story goes by in a snap?
In a snap.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very fast, paced story. I think, of all the restarts, it's my favorite.
And the art is just so gorgeous in that book. Like, the artist, the inker, the colorist.
It's unique. It sets itself apart from all the other titles.
It's beautiful. There's a lot of beautiful pages, especially like the two-page spreads that he puts
together.
Well,
look at the frames. Look how they're all formed, like in the part that Huckster's looking here out. It's all
broken.
Yeah,
I just opened
up
and I just started nodding.
Yeah, it's like, that's just beautiful. Like I said, even the colorist here has stepped forward.
A flashback there, and you could tell, I mean, just by looking at the ink on the page, you know it's a flashback.
You can tell the way it's colored, that stands out as being something different. And a lot of this stuff looks painted. As opposed to just, you know, drawn and digitally colored. It's just a gorgeous book. So, yeah, that's a great one.
Oh, my goodness. How far are we into this?
Oh, we're about 36 minutes.
This is going to be a long show. Okay,
last one.
We
might have
to
drop one of our segments in the show later.
No!
I don't know.
All right. Next one. We'll just cut and paste it onto the next show.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll turn that one into a Comic-Hawks Light. Ooh.
Maybe. Okay.
Batman and Robin.
Okay. He lied to Damian, mm-hmm. Trying to quote unquote keep
Damian
safe.
Found out,
but Damian went out on his own and
discovered that he was being hunted.
Right, that dude,
and that Batman was being hunted.
Well, the dude tries to brainwash Damian and turn him to his side. And
this is tied into the bad guy from the Batman title too.
The Owl.
Yeah.
See, that was part of the thing where I wasn't sure exactly if it tied in or if it was just they were doing a similar.
I think it's
story.
Tied in. It's too close. It's too similar. I don't know. I could be wrong, but you don't think
it's
so?
Either going to be really cool or it's going to be like really lame. But they do the same thing.
It's the most awesome. Oh, this sucks.
Because I like Tomasai and Gleason's art in this is really cool.
Actually, I do like the artwork in that one a lot, especially compared to the Batman, Greg Capullo doing the Batman book. I kind of wished this guy was doing more of it, but anyway.
That's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's it.
Okay. But I'll pick four books then, I guess, or something for the amount of time we have here.
That's my problem is I read volumes, and sometimes I try to, you know, let it all sink in.
Just let it all hang out.
But, you know.
All right, let's see here.
I'm a collector.
Pigs from Image Comics.
Have not read it. Have no idea what it
basically,
is.
Basically, there's a KGB sleeper cell. Goes to Cuba in like the 60s.
Is this like Bay of Pigs?
Well, yeah. That's
wait, but didn't we talk about this last show?
Well, they're up to issue 5. And in issue 5, they realize that they have to, as part of their mission, kill somebody in San Quentin Prison. Which is, they realize it's going to be a difficult proposition. So they put together this plan to basically buy off somebody in San Quentin to kill this guy. And they keep talking about this guy. You don't know who this guy is. You don't know why he's a target. There's just this guy, this plan. They have to kill him. So they hire this dude to go in to kill this guy in the prison, and the guy's waiting for him. Ooh. And the guy knows
so
that
this, tipped off.
Yeah, so he knows that this hitman's coming to kill him in the prison, and he basically chops off his leg and
Whoa.
Sends the leg off as a note to them to let them know that he knows what's going on. And when it and it, like it goes through the whole issue, and you don't see this guy.
You
until
even like, say, "Oh no, you didn't."
But you don't even see him until the final page, and the final page, the dude is covered with swastikas from head to toe.
Whoa.
So it's like the KGB guys.
Wait a minute, back up. Who's the publisher?
This is from Image.
Okay, so it's Marvel.
No, Image.
Well,
the Spawn.
Okay.
Invincible, Walking Dead.
Okay, yeah, yeah. No, no, I'm sorry. I thought it was.
It's not Marvel.
Okay. And then who's the artist and writer?
Well, let's see here. Let's see. Written by Nate Cosby and Ben McCool.
Okay.
And,
I don't know who they are.
Art by Brino Tamura. So there you go. Now you know.
I just want to throw that out there in case anybody was trying to research this.
You know, now you know. But so it's like apparently somehow, I don't know if this is supposed to be like a test, but like the Russians are supposed to kill this Nazi guy, and who knows what his ties are. But somehow he has ties into something else to get tipped off to the fact that there's a hitman coming to kill him, and he has the ability to get these weapons so that he can grab the guy, kidnap him, chop his leg off, and mail it out. Yeah, so there's something. So it's like it,
so
the
there's
whole
espionage.
The whole issue is there just to tell you
there's something more
going on.
So it's like a mystery espionage story,
right? There's something more going on, and you just don't know what it is, but it's fantastic.
It's like Bourne Identity, but in prison.
Sure, for that part. I mean, the other guys aren't in prison, but whatever. What Deathstroke? I really like Deathstroke, but I found out Rob Liefeld is coming in as the writer and artist.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah, so I'm going to drop that title.
Done.
So I loved everything they've done up to now, but dropping that one in a heartbeat.
I hope I never meet Liefeld in person, because I'd just be like,
I really love this book.
I hope you haven't
heard
that.
He's taking over?
Yeah.
Done.
Hope you haven't listened to my podcast, because we rail you every time.
Okay, here's... Have you read the new Star Trek series at all?
Yes, love it.
Okay. You saw the new movie, okay. I assume. Okay. The new comic series is taking the original TV episodes and redoing them with the new characters and the new timeline of the new
At least
movie.
The,
are they doing it in chronological order?
They're not in chronological. They're kind of skipping, like, okay. I think they're all in order, but they're not doing every episode.
Episode, okay. Right. Well, in this episode, or series of issues, mini-series, I guess, Captain Kirk is sending the Enterprise to send supplies to some planet, some system. And along the way, they get a distress signal. So Spock elects to take a team. I think it's Scotty and McCoy are the main characters, and then you've got your red guys, you know.
Your red shirts.
The red shirts.
Because you know there's going to be violence,
actually. On a shuttle to go check it out.
The episode was called the Galileo 7.
Okay.
Because they're in the Galileo shuttlecraft. They crash on the planet and they're being attacked by these creatures.
Right off the bat, I love the art. And I like the dialogue. It seems very true to the classic characters.
Well, the artwork, like, it surprises me how well they can get the likenesses.
Right.
Because on a lot of
these, they kind of meshed. I like it because they kind of meshed the movie character likenesses with, like, the original Star Trek cast.
Right.
Did you notice that?
Well, it's like they give them the mannerisms of the original.
Uh-huh.
Kirk is sitting in the chair.
Yeah.
Like, that is totally William
Shatner. That's
the classic
Shatner.
The Shatner pose in the chair.
It's this chair.
But it's Christopher Pine.
This is my favorite chair.
But yeah, I mean, everything about this series works for me. Just taking these old stories, basically, and just updating them. And the funny thing is, the other day I was flipping through TV, and on MeTV, they played the original Star Trek, and this episode was on.
Oh, really?
And so I was like, I really have to read this one. And it's just so weird. Like,
you have that on Comixology? Is that what you've got there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know. You know how I noticed?
Because it's going panel
to
panel.
It's going panel to panel. Yeah. Yeah. I love Comixology. So if anybody wants to send the Apocalypse some comics for free on
Comixology codes,
that would be great. Just email me at apocalypse@comaholics.com, and I'll send you my username. And then I'll review it.
All they have to do is they can click on the book, click on gift it, put in your email address.
There you go. Yeah, just give me some comics and I'll review them.
So,
but yeah, no, I really like the story. And then, okay, so going along with this story, they lose signal of the shuttle. At this time, we have to put in some information here. Uhura is in an affair with Spock.
Well, that's in the movie. You know that.
That was different, though.
But see, they meshed that with the...
Yeah, so that's different from the original series.
What I'm saying, they kind of combined the whole thing.
Well, I mean, that's the whole point, is they're taking these classic episodes from the...
And they're just sort of updating them?
You're right.
They're giving them a refresh, a reboot, if you will. Well, and at the same time, Captain Kirk is pulled... He's struggling between the decision of... going and trying to rescue his crew, or getting these supplies
to the people who need the help.
People who need the help, and he's also got this pressure from the guy that's in charge, the ambassador that's in charge of the system, or whatever it is that he has to deliver these supplies to.
But going back to these likenesses, usually on these books they get. I mean, to put it bluntly, is they get the cheapest artist they can find to throw out this licensed stuff.
Right.
And IDW has really taken great pains to get somebody who can
nail... Don't they always, though, when they grab titles?
IDW does a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Transformers, G.I. Joe...
But, I mean, a lot of times when you get, like, Marvel doing a movie adaptation...
D&D? I mean, the Driss stories are
fantastic. I haven't read those, so.
And actually, Huckster and I were... Him and I played D&D since I was, like, 10 years old.
A long time ago.
You know? So we're very familiar with, you know, Dark Elves.
Well, that's how we got back in touch with each other, was through D&D.
Yeah, was playing D&D. They do it justice. And I have to agree. IDW, when they grab a title, a popular title, they don't cheese it out. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? I mean, there's another great example. But
Now, going from one licensed property that was handled fantastically to another licensed property not handled as well, the new Voltron series.
I haven't read it.
Came out. And
I thought about reading it. Is it worth it? Tell me.
Okay, here's... Okay.
Well, if they're trying to be true to the comic, the animation was never good either.
No, that's not the point. That's not the issue here. They've broken the story into two parts. And basically, the main story revolves around... the fight with Prince Lodor and Voltron out in space comes to Earth.
Oh, no, I have read the first issue.
Right. They're on Earth, and it's like 2468, whatever, and now they're on Earth, and they've got to figure out like how to save all these people.
They know it's coming.
They know the robo-beast's on his way and whatever. And so you got kind of like that classic Voltron, and that's okay. You know, it doesn't stand out as being great, but it's kind of that nostalgic kick. It's Voltron. It's like, yeah, okay,
close
that's
enough.
Cool. Right.
Yeah.
But then it flips to the backup story. In the backup story, it's set in time now. So Voltron time is set in the future. In time now, apparently somehow, like, the United States government has found this random piece of robotics or something that fell out of space, landed on Earth, and it's like a piece of a robo-beast or something. And they need somebody to take a look at it, and they call this doctor, and the doctor is Dr. Zarkon. Well, King Zarkon is the evil ruler of the space empire in the future. So apparently somehow this doctor on Earth in our time is going
he's
to turn into the evil emperor in the future.
Oh,
or he's going to go into space and start a bloodline or something. And it's just, like, I read that and I go, really? Like
is that really necessary?
Too much? Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah.
That's really, it'd be one thing if they're on Earth. And after, like, 20 issues, they find something that reveals something, like, some sort of connection. And then you
right
kind of be like,
bat.
Oh. But, yeah, first book, backup story. Oh, yeah, by the way, Evil Emperor is probably this doctor from modern time.
Right.
Who's somehow in 400 years going to be the Emperor of the Universe. It's like what?
Right.
Like, this is, so like aggravating, disappointing.
Again, here,
it does take a lot to destroy your suspension.
Here's
of
another
because of Voltron. Like I bought giant lions that turn into a big robot in space. I'm down with that. Yeah. Okay, you got me on that.
But don't change the story about how he becomes emperor.
Don't try to tie it back to now.
How dare you?
Now you've gone too far, sir. So
not a big fan of Voltron.
Not a big fan of how that's going on.
It's just number one, right? They haven't done number two yet?
Correct.
Wow.
So that's a problem there.
Dirt is hurt.
Ooh.
He's hurt.
Oh.
Dirt is hurt.
Sounds like my new TV show. Battle Scars. I still love Battle Scars. Have you read it at all? Okay. Well,
is that the same like storyline where it had like the chicks with the warplanes?
No.
Battlefields. I'm thinking of Battlefields. Never mind.
Okay. This guy, basically he's in the army. He comes home, finds that these Russians have killed his mom. They're trying to find him, kill him. He fights them off. The Taskmaster appears, who's been hired to kill him.
What?
Captain America appears, and he's like...
Oh, no, you told me about this today, how I should read this.
And I don't want to give it away since you haven't read it, but I think it's leading up to he's the son of somebody important.
Oh, okay.
And I don't want to give away who that is, but you start to pick up these clues as it's going on, because he's like, well, I have no family, my mom's dead, never met my dad, blah, 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 and then Taskmaster says some stuff about his dad.
It's Deadpool.
And, no. but I think part of this is going to lead to...
Bruce Banner!
I think it's going to lead to a long-time character in the Marvel Universe actually dying or going away, and he's going to take his place.
Sentry. They're bringing Sentry back.
So anyway, but anyway, I like Battle Scars. I think everybody should read it. It's actually a lot of fun. It's a very good book.
Is
it's
it
one
Quicksilver's
of those,
grandson?
It's
from
one of
the
those
past,
things where it's like a guy who's just kind of thrown into this situation, and he's got to figure out like why the hell am I in the middle of this firestorm? You know.
Since he recommended it, you know me, I'll read it.
So I do enjoy that. I don't know, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I really... Because you've talked about...
Oh,
so
I
want
to talk about one other one. Incredible Hulk. The new Incredible Hulk.
I have not been reading it.
I don't like Incredible Hulk. I don't like Hulk. I don't like Incredible Hulk. I didn't like Red Hulk until he tied into Avengers, which I like him now. But this new Incredible Hulk, starting with the new number one, I'm really digging it.
You've enjoyed it?
Yes. Like, Bruce Banner splits apart from... Incredible Hulk. They are now two different people. And Incredible Hulk has banished himself, basically, with the Mole Men in the center of the Earth to try to, like, get peace. Not necessarily get peace, but get away from all those that are trying to influence him.
Right.
And it's really good. The artwork is spectacular. And I really like the writing style. So I've only read the first issue, so I guess I'm assuming a little too much, maybe, but...
Have you been reading The Strange Tale of Luther Strode?
No.
Okay.
I've thought about it. I've tap-danced around
it. It is a lot of fun, and basically, the idea is this.
Who's the writer and artist again?
Oh, boy. God, why do you always ask?
Because I want to know. I want to relate it to other stuff.
Your mom and your uncle. Written by Justin Jordan.
No, it's terrible, then.
Art by Trad Moore.
Okay, that doesn't help me at all.
Exactly. All right, so... Basically, this kid, scrawny kid, nerdy kid, he hates the jocks, he's getting beat up, whatever. He sees an ad in a comic book, like, learn to be the master of this new form of fighting, you know, send away for this book, and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, screw it. He's like, $15, I'll order this thing. He orders this book, he starts doing it, and suddenly, he becomes super powerful. Like, when he looks at somebody, it's like he sees through them, and he can see like where their muscle mass is, what makes them strong, what makes them powerful, what their weak points are. And suddenly he walks up to this guy, and he'll just punch him in the face, and like the head will explode, the eyeballs pop out of the back of his head.
Ooh.
And he's just like,
and like
holy...
that Mark Millar sort of...
Yeah,
sort of.
Kind of in that sort of way. And he's just like, holy crap, what have I stumbled onto? And suddenly he's super powerful from learning this secret form of fighting he got from this book out of the back of a comic book. So, of course, his best friend's like, well, you got to become a superhero. You know, you got to come up with this look and whatever.
So it's like superior, sort of.
Well, so basically, he goes out. So suddenly, like, he walks down the street, and drug lords would be like, what the hell is your problem, man? He's like, oh, my problem. And then he'll just go over, rip out their chest, you know, grab a guy's arm, beat another guy with it. You know, just beat the crap out of these people. Super bloody, super violent. And finally, suddenly this other dude appears.
Bad guy.
Who calls himself the Librarian. Because he keeps the books.
Wait a minute, what's there?
And so this guy, this other guy who's suddenly has the same
abilities. Wasn't there a Mad TV where Jim Carrey was the librarian?
He was not Mad TV.
Not Mad TV. What was the one where he's like the librarian? He's actually like, because it's like a spoof of Conan.
Well, UHF.
UHF.
UHF. The librarian. Conan there the librarian. Go. I'm sorry. I just heard the librarian.
Don't you know the Dewey Decimal System?
So is it like that? Is he like a...
No. but basically, like, this guy, for whatever reason, knows...
That's a good quote. I like that, Huckster. Thanks.
Knows, like, how this power works and how it gets transferred to everybody. And he says, like, somehow this kid has some sort of destiny. He's been given this power to do something. And the kid has no idea what the hell is going on. And so it's just, again, it's kind of like Battle Scars in the sense of, why the hell is this happening to me in the middle of all this stuff? But it's more of a super ultra-violent... just lots of swearing and awesome, fantastic stuff to it.
Yeah.
So, good book for people who like bad words.
I'll read it.
All right. Well, we're almost an hour into the show
now. All right. Okay, so everybody, this will be intermission of the first section of five. So, four.
I think we're going to have to cut one.
What?
I think I sense a Kamahawk's light coming up.
You know what? Well, we might cut Invincible, I think, if we were to choose. Because I really want to talk about Ultimate Spider-Man.
Okay, well, we can save Invincible for...
Okay, so we're going to...
For a light or a next episode.
Okay, so we're going to do Dark Crystal and Ultimate Spider-Man. We're going to do Ultimatum, Ultimate Spider-Man, leading into the new Ultimate Spider-Man.
Into Miles Morales.
Everybody take a break. Go grab a brew, whatever
you
gotta
do. Go grab a fresh one. And then when we come back, we also have a beer surprise.
Yes.
So, be ready for your beer surprise right after this.
My name is Sween Hollick, and if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, have I got a column for you. Go over to popculturenetwork.com and take a look at Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, where each and every week we meander down memory lane as I review classic figures from the original Playmates Ninja Turtle toy line. Whether you're a longtime follower of the Fab Four or just getting into the Green Teens, I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you can only find it at popculturenetwork.com.
You're listening to a podcast on popculturenetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.popculturenetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to popculturenetwork.com and click on store.
Oh, I gotta get some more scotch.
Wait.
I gotta uncork it.
Wait, before you drink that scotch, before you pour that scotch, let that scotch sit and breathe for a second. We've got a secret...
Breathe. I think this scotch
we have a
hacking.
Secret special moment here, everybody. We are going to crack open a new beer. This is a beer we've never had on this show before. In fact, none of us have ever had at all before. This beer is, in fact, known as beer.
No.
It's beer 30.
Light.
This is, well, they also had ice, and I went with the light instead of the ice.
Well, that's a good choice.
But this is
premium beer.
Beer 30 is the name of this beer. It was just a big, it was like a 30-pack that cost $12, and it just said beer on the box, so I had
and
to get
it. And it's in a purple can.
Purple can with a blue 30 on it.
I've never drank a beer out of a purple
can. I don't care
beer.
What this beer tastes like, it's going to have a grape aftertaste.
And the O in 30 is a clock. So it is beer 30 o'clock. I think, is the actual name. Like, it's a visual pun.
Okay. So, in unison.
Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Oh,
I was a little late.
Okay.
So here's beer 30 o'clock
say,
light.
Beer 30
o'clock. Opa!
Roast!
Just take a sip.
Yeah, tastes... Grape.
There's a little bit of vinegar, I think, in there. Some formaldehyde. It's like the fizz has more flavor than the beer.
Right.
Like, there's no body to
like
it.
Like, it's probably not nasty, like when you ate that garbage pail kid gum at
that was 20 years old?
Yeah.
Just yeah, it just
but now really... you've got the grape flavor in my head.
No, doesn't it?
There's no actual grape flavor to this.
There is
come
actually
on.
No grape flavor except I just it, after the beer is completely gone, I just have this grape aftertaste.
But there's no real flavor.
I think
to
it might
it
be
all.
The taste of the can.
Yeah, this is about as light as it gets.
You got a little bit of that hops in the foam, but that's about it. And the rest
of
it's just
goodness.
Like
this really is. About as not a beer as you get.
It's completely clear.
Is it really? No, it's got a little of an amber.
No.
Carl, I'll test that here.
Yeah.
I'll actually pour it into
look how clear
the
that
glass.
Is.
No. Like
maybe a little bit of ginger ale.
Wow.
It is light. It is very light. It is indeed
this
a light
this is probably
beer.
Like 3.5% alcohol and...
30%.
Nothing.
Surgeon General's warning, this is watered down. That's actually what it says. Mm. Weird.
Low so carb.
Beer 30 light.
Yeah.
So not as good as Big Flats from Walgreens.
No, Big Flats.
Big Flats from Walgreens blows this out of the water. And I tried to stop at Walgreens on the way here, but they were all closed. Mm. None of the 24-hour ones are on the way between my house and your house.
Well, we need to change that.
Yeah, well, I would have had to go to the one over on MacArthur. You know, so, I'm a little disappointed in beer 30 o'clock light.
No, I could drink this like nothing.
This might be a good like hot day, like mow the lawn.
Lawn mowing.
And then you got...
But you know what? You've got the incognito purple can.
So most people will think it's a soda?
It's a grape soda.
Yeah, yeah. So you got that going for you.
Except it says beer. Really big on it.
But you could be root beer.
Grape root beer.
So, yeah, it does not look like
so,
any beer
so
can I've ever
seen.
For
you dads out there, they got to take your daughter to the soccer game.
Grab some Beer 30 Light. You're not going to get that drunk. It's going to look like soda.
You won't get drunk enough that you want to argue with the coach.
You'll get drunk enough, you'll probably enjoy yourself. And maybe flirt with that MILF sitting behind you.
Right.
But
or just be really amused at your daughter who stares at the balloons in the background.
I'm going to have
not
to take
pay attention to the game.
I'm going to take a picture of this can and post on the message board when I post the...
Comaholics?
The episode, yeah.
Yes.
So people can see what it looks like.
Yes.
Because that beer 30 o'clock light can...
This is hilarious, isn't it?
Like, it looks like a joke.
I know.
Like, this would be a
it's
joke
a
can.
Like,
this like would
you
be,
buy it at Spencer's.
Like they're going to put Duff out of business on The Simpsons. You know what
do
I mean?
Even, do they
like, beer 30 o'clock beer
where is this
Duff.
Even from? Does it
La
even
Crosse,
say?
Wisconsin. All right,
now we've divulged into this. Okay, it's in... Mullane Brewery Inc. in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Actually, La Crosse, I've been to La Crosse, Wisconsin.
I've heard from Appleton, Wisconsin.
La Crosse, Wisconsin is between Amish hell and Amish heaven.
But how far is it from Tommy Bartlett's Robot World in the Wisconsin Dells?
I don't know. No, that's way up north. Way up north. La Crosse is more south, like closer to the border. Not really close to the border, but... It's,
which border?
It's north...
There's two borders.
Of Illinois.
Okay.
It's, like, northwest of the border of Illinois.
Okay.
I've been to Lafarge, which is not far from La Crosse. I think La Crosse is actually a border town. I don't know. Anyways. Sure.
Yeah, because, like, there's no aftertaste.
Right.
There's no, it's not heavy at all. Like, for saying light, like, that's true. I'm probably going to have to pee, like, a 2-liter soda bottle full after this, but...
Right. Wow, you're going to make 2 liters out of 12 ounces.
I am, indeed. It's going to suck the extra moisture out of me. I'm going to lose weight from drinking this light beer. It's going to take more calories to drink it than it is to... It's actually in the beer. Like, this is weight loss beer. This is the celery of beers.
All right.
Okay, well, now that we've had our beer 30 o'clock light, maybe we should talk about going from a premium alcoholic beverage to a premium hardcover.
Yes.
From Arkea. We've talked about Arkea many times because they hook us up with many great books.
Was this a hookup?
This was not a hookup. I bought this one. Okay. We could have gotten it from them in a review copy in like 2 months.
Right.
But I was like, this is Dark Crystal. So I'm I'm paying money.
Right.
So I wanted a copy of this.
I tried to be very careful not to handle this book inappropriately.
But anything from Archaea in a hardcover is super high quality. They always, you know, go the extra distance. They talk about how they want their books to stand out on the shelf. It has a nice feel to it. It's got the gold
texture.
Embossing. Yeah, it's the texture inlay of the designs. And then, of course, like, just the artwork in this book is incredible. Like, if you just pick it up and kind of flip through it, you know, and just look at the artwork, it's all this fully painted style.
Well, let's talk
style.
About the artist here.
Alex Schickman?
Schickman. Oh, and is it Froud?
Well, Brian Froud.
Froud has done a lot of fairy art.
He's the guy who worked with Henson.
Right.
Like, he actually worked with Jim Henson.
But he's also published a lot of fairy...
He does a lot of stuff on his own.
He has stuff that's in, like, national galleries.
Yeah, he's compiled work with Alan Lee, too, who's... if you guys don't know Alan Lee, he's the guy who came up with a lot of the...
White Wolf.
Well, he did White Wolf. Lord of the Rings is what all the artwork in that... kind of based off of Alan Lee's work.
But Brian Froud, he worked on Labyrinth. He worked on Dark Crystal.
Labyrinth, that was the other one.
He worked with Henson on, you know, just whatever random fantasy stuff he was working on. And so he got called...
I get to keep this one, right?
No, you don't get to keep that one. But he got asked by Archaea basically to revisit these properties. So Labyrinth was slated to come out this year, but I think it might be pushed back to next year. I'm not sure.
Side note.
Yeah.
Who's the guy that did Mouse Guard?
David Peterson.
Okay, I met David.
Yeah, he did a piece of artwork for this book.
Okay. Funny thing is, not last year, the year before is when I met David. The first C2E2 I went to.
Yeah.
And he was telling me how he was doing artwork for Dark Crystal, but he didn't know if they were going to pick him up.
Ah. Well, if you look in the back of this book...
like, he was like, I've got all these great concepts, you know.
That's a piece of his artwork.
Right. And he was telling... And I remember, like, because I got to meet him...
Art Nouveau.
He signed my Mouse Guard book.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about, like, he had this... And he showed me... He was showing me some of the artwork that he was doing for Dark Crystal, which... I love being press. I gotta tell you.
Yeah, when you get badge, because the badge says press.
To be in touch with the artist, and then to, like, to see that transpire later, you know?
Well, because as opposed to being, like, a fan, when you're like, oh, I like your stuff, please sign my book. You walk up, you have a badge that says press, they're gonna talk to you a little bit more, show you a little bit more of their portfolio.
And now if I meet him again, I'll be like, all right, great, you know, you got some of it published, you know? Because he was telling me, like, he didn't know if they were going to pick him up on this, and he was very fond of doing the art for Dark Crystal.
Mm.
So, there you have it.
Well, he got a pinup in here. He didn't get picked up to do the series, but that's probably because he has his own book that he's working on. So, but yeah, I mean, just overall, it's like the artwork in here is just... it captures the movie so well. And the movie... was puppets.
Well, they take it beyond the movie,
right?
Really.
Jim Henson puppets, yeah. But it was
So
basically, here's the book. The way
it's a fairy tale.
The way the book was originally announced by Archaea, like 2 years ago, when they first announced they were doing this book, is they basically said they wanted to cover from the beginning of time until the first movie. That's what they are setting out with this project. They may do more later on, but this particular project is to start with
it's
the beginning
one.
Of the world. Yeah, this is the Phantom Menace, except good. up until where the first movie comes in. And so that's what this book basically set out to do, and they got Brian Froud to come back in and to just basically sit down and think it through, come up with characters, come up with concepts.
It sounds like a lot of it was already thought up.
Oh, you know, I'm sure.
I'm sure there's notes somewhere, because he recently...
But didn't he come back for, like, the Blu-ray release or something and do, like, a commentary or a...
Well, he had done a commentary, but didn't some of his notes and stuff get released recently?
Did they get published?
Might have been some sketches. I don't know if they got published, but maybe... Look, to me, honestly, it felt like they took something out of some sketches or something directly from the original series.
And that looks just so much like the original series artwork right there. Her face, what is her character? It starts with the name.
Agra.
Agra.
You know, okay, here's one thing I have to say. When I remember watching The Dark Crystal when it came out, and I was like, we were like, what, eight?
And it was so different than any other...
Right, like there was no real frame of reference that you could compare it to.
It was a completely new, bizarre world.
Right. And going back now as an adult and watching it, a lot of it you can go, okay, now I get it.
Right.
As a kid, you were just like, well, that's cool because it's puppets and it looks real and there's, you know, the chamber,
I bought that
Chamberlain
and Sinker at the time.
Yeah.
What, you know, the stilt creatures, the two-legged, those just blew my mind when I was a kid. It was like, they're like giraffes, but they're like camels.
With like, almost like bat wing, like...
Like rabbit.
Looking well, they had the scapula that's stuck up, you know, really far. And
the Land Strider.
Yeah, and in fact, that's I remember...
Is that the name of it?
And I think there was actually an HBO special in the 90s about the creation of that show, or the movie.
Which is probably one of the bonus things on a Blu-ray or
right,
a DVD.
Right, where they talk about how they developed these... The animatronics.
Right, they got like Broadway dancers
oh, yeah, I think
who
I have seen that.
Come in to, and did all that.
So when you tie up all that history and all that time put into it, and then you see the creation of this.
I would say it's on par, actually.
Like, this feels fitting.
Oh, and in the story itself, I was like, okay, how...
Split
they
up,
could totally ruin this. And they, actually, I bought the story.
Right,
it's split up into, what, three fairy tales, basically.
Like vignettes, kind of.
Yes.
Right.
They're kind of skipping through time.
All tie up in the end where the son, the
Agra's son knows that there's a secret. Okay, let's go back. Agra, who is in the movie.
She's the soothsayer. She's the one
she's the one that has the big planetarium.
Right. Which I thought was the coolest.
You find out that she is one of the first beings created on this world. Whatever this world is, that where the Dark Crystal is.
Thra.
Is that the name?
This is not Earth. This is a completely made up, brand new...
Oh, and they go way back to creation, too.
Right.
There's no guessing on that.
And she basically... First, she starts out kind of watching over the Gelflings. And then there's this magical light that comes and shines, and it...
And Agra is there from the beginning.
Right. But it instills in her, like, this knowledge of... the crystals and the universe and things beyond the world. And the Gelflings are just kind of concerned with playing and having fun and whatever. And as they get the knowledge, they become explorers of the world.
And she's getting the
knowledge. She wants to explore the universe. But she can't leave the planet, but she's watching the alignment of the planets and watching the stars and watching all these things. And she has a son. And the son... Well, God, like I feel like I've missed so much stuff, like skipping over so much stuff. When they get this knowledge and this light, these beings come through from this other world.
And all that has to do with resonance of the crystals.
Yeah,
right.
Well, they're drawn to the crystal,
right?
And they are exiles.
Well, you don't know that, but you don't know that at first. First, they just appear. They build the crystal castle that holds the crystal in place.
And they being the big light creatures in the movie, if you've seen it, but these.
They give explanation to why the light creatures are there. Because, okay, all right, let's put some frame of reference here. In the movie, that is the aftermath of this.
Right.
In the movie, it's, you know, decimation of the dark force of the light creatures. It's the dark side of the light creatures.
Well, you find out that, like...
it really has sparked my interest, because you find out in this that the light creatures are actually heretics. They've been banned from their own planet.
Right.
And they've been sent to this planet.
Well, because you find out in the movie that those...
And they're trying
snout-nosed creatures, that are the evil creatures, that there was something else to them, like they corrupted into this
Skeksis,
form.
Skeksis, I think you're
Skeksis.
Right.
Skeksis.
That they
the sexies.
They are sexy.
Sexy. I like their big noses.
But this book is like a mix between, like, the Gelfling fairy tales... And the true history of this world.
This is so Tolkien-esque. It really is. It's like
just that it was an epic arc.
It's like Tolkien light.
I've definitely an Arthurian Legends vibe with the various spirit journeys.
Right.
That's
yes.
really, that was deep.
Okay, yeah, because you've got... yeah, and it was. It was 30. Actually very intellectual.
this thing goes down like really quick. These beer 30s?
I know,
like,
I'm already done with mine.
Yeah, no, it's very... yeah, me too. It's very intellectual because, all right, you've got... okay, you've got the Gelfling that gets wings, right?
Okay.
Oh, and not all of this is comic. There's actually little segments of written story.
Yeah, there are written stories.
Yeah, there's about two pages.
There's like poetry, story.
At the beginning of every fairy tale, I don't know what else to call but a fairy tale.
Chapters. Well, sub-chapters.
So. But it is like
issues,
a story.
I thought about it as vignettes, kind of, because they were all kind of artistic, quick retellings.
Well, but there are some of them
there's
are just like, this
page,
is the history.
Yeah,
two
and then some of them are, this is what's going on. Right.
Right. There's a two-page literature. And I say literature because it's beautiful.
Right.
Because it reminds me of, like, a fable in the sense where, like, there's a moral story.
There's a lesson to be learned.
Right.
Right.
I don't know which one was
it's
first.
It's like classic Aesop.
Right.
That's just kind of, you know, put in between.
But the story I enjoyed the most was the one where the guy's, like, learning this. He wants to find the song. I think it's the last one. Where he's trying to find
the... the bard guy who's kind of going on the ship into the ocean and he's experiencing all sort of weird...
And didn't you think that was cool where, like, he finds that island with the trees and stuff and it turns out that island is actually a part of the tail?
I spent about 3 minutes trying to figure out what that fish ate, that he had to have his tail sticking out of the water.
But there's also, like...
yeah, I agree. Yeah.
What is the ecology of this beast?
But there's stuff like...
what's the backstory of it?
When he hears the song. He has to go find the song. He journeys to find the song.
Oh, there it is.
He gets sidetracked once or twice, but then he eventually hears the song.
And then he's, like, so dismayed by what he hears.
Yeah, and then he feels like he's almost violated then by listening to their song. Like, he feels... the song wasn't meant for him.
Which ties into the Creatures of the Light, which goes back to... this all ties in so well to each other. Not just to each other in this story.
Oh, yeah, that too.
And the resolution at the end that leads into Volume 2. We will be reading Volume 2. We were going to cover this again.
Of course, it won't come out for like 6 months or
that's
something.
That's fine.
But it's like, here's
worth
the thing.
The wait.
Here's the thing. You have this fable in the middle of this story. And it's him on the boat trying to hear the song, whatever. Right. And you know that that's not a true story in this world. Like, there's not a guy
who... it's a side story, yeah.
Right, there's not a guy who heard a song, got on a boat, and that's part of the Dark Crystal story. It's a fairy tale that they've told each other in the world.
Oh,
You know that any of those great fables or those stories, like, there's a true story behind it.
Right.
You know, the story of Noah. There was actually a large flood in the Middle East. You know, there's something to it that gets turned into these stories. So when you hear this story of the guy on the boat hearing the song going out... he's not really a true character from their history, but it's to teach you something about the world in which they live that comes into play later.
And specifically these light creatures that have a dark side. Like he's the first one to discover that they have
there's a sadness to them.
Good point there, because that's what made me think, okay, why are they heretics?
Right.
And then they immediately segue into that in the next...
are they heretics because they have the darker side?
I think that's why they're
banished?
Well, no, but you almost get the feeling like their darker side, or they didn't give in to the darker side, which made them the heretic.
Oh.
Like, they're the good guys who have to corrupt themselves like everyone else in their world does. Like, their world that they come from is evil.
Or it could be the opposite. Almost,
but see, that's the vibe I got from it, you know? So it is open to interpretation.
Right.
And I think that's one of the great things about it, is that you can read it different ways, and it's not necessarily trying to force a story on you as much as here are these great tales that you have to read and internalize and work.
I gotta say, I felt that this was brilliantly developed.
Mm-hmm.
I think the writing style is spot on, and the artwork couldn't be more choreographed. What's the price on this hardcover?
That was $20.
Oh, I'm totally getting this. Yeah. I'm gonna go buy it.
I would... tip Arcadia another $5 to buy this. I mean,
you'd pay him $25 for a $20
book. I would spend $24.99 for this. I would.
You know, I almost think, like, this copy, I got this copy fresh out of the box. Already, like, for me reading it, you know, like, there are these big creases I put into it, you know, from you know, like, laying on it, reading it, and everything like that. I almost want to buy a second copy for $20 to never open, to put on the shelf.
Right.
You know, so
in
like
the plastic.
But even so, like the paper and the hardback book. Like I thought, the very
so you know, Arcadia like does a spectacular job.
They are all about doing hardcovers,
right?
They say that they are a book.
We sat
publisher.
In on a panel last year with Arcadia, and they talked about how when they presentation is probably 80% of their sales concept. You know, I mean. They're very focused on making sure that they're showing quality to the reader. Whether or not, you know,
they're
when you
book
go to,
snobs.
Yeah. When
this
you,
is what they
yes,
even said. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you, like, go into Barnes & Noble, that book stands out on the shelf. You know, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you
Oh, talking? I was just going to say, I mean, just the quality of the paper just itself was amazing.
Yeah,
I thought it was
almost
a
like
stock.
When you're turning a page, you're like, is there two pages there?
Because it's,
yeah, it's so
paper.
Thick, each page.
Well, the reason why I thought about it is, like, you were saying you laid on it, and I was like, that's probably not going to hurt that book.
But it's like I can see like there's the crease,
yeah,
you know, I put the page. It's like I want to buy a second copy so I can have one that doesn't have that crease. You know what I mean? It's
well,
like if I ever read that copy, then I got to order a third copy.
It's been
copy,
passed so on to three sentient beings, so you know, there you go.
But I mean, this is just like this is what makes me happy about licensed properties. Like
right.
This is what a sequel or prequel should be. Like this is what like everything that's wrong with Hollywood is fixed.
Uh-huh.
When Arcadia does a book like this,
you know
it's
they're
like,
coming out with.
Thank goodness they didn't do a
and
dark
doing Labyrinth also.
It's
are
like
redoing, or are they doing another.
They
oh,
got
these
the right,
guys are doing.
Yeah, this
it's like
company.
Thank goodness they didn't do a Dark Crystal movie and they did that hardcover.
Yes.
Well, no, but they are doing a Dark Crystal movie.
Are they?
Yes, a new one coming out.
Well, we'll see how it goes. It's
yeah.
got a lot to live up to.
I was going to say the comic book's already got it blown out of the water. I mean, it'd be hard pressed to come up to
any criticisms at all.
Nah.
I think, well, I would say if there's one, I didn't expect this to end as abruptly as it did.
Well, they definitely is a part, they're definitely moving you to volume two.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like this is several comics put together as a hardcover.
Oh, that would be probably five issues.
Well, I'm just saying that it does have that feel that it's definitely broken down as if they were publishing issues of comics that they put together in a hardcover. So you do have that kind of broken apart feel as you go from
going back. Go back a few pages there when you see the in the mask with the character.
Here, just take the book here.
Okay, the character here is that supposed to be Agra?
That is Agra. She's
okay.
She's basically the Earth Mother type.
No, where she's like all like hooded up. That's Agra.
Oh no, that, I don't think
no, that's not her.
That's
not her.
Who is this?
That's the person telling the story.
We don't know who that
but
is.
Who that person
well,
is.
Well, we don't know. Yeah. I think that's the son.
I thought that was... Oh, you think that's
the son? I think
it's the son,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The trickster?
Yeah.
Okay, wow. I've just been enlightened. That kind of, like, changes my perspective of the story. So, yeah.
Because Agra doesn't have that stature. He seems to be shorter. It's
the mystery...
Her.
Well, he's also thinner.
Yeah.
Agra is
big.
Very...
Yeah.
She's a Medea.
Right.
Goes to jail.
The mystery the mystery and wonder and the fantastic world that was created with Dark Crystal in the beginning is captured here. It's real, it's live, it's hardcover.
I totally got lost in this book.
Yeah.
Like this is one of those things where it's like there are certain
like,
times where I forgot I was reading the book.
I would read this to my 6-year old.
Like
and I bet you she would be enthralled with this.
Well and also
saying?
like you remember the Neverending Story?
Yeah.
It's like the kid sits down to read the book, and it's so real to him, he gets lost in the story, right? Like, that's kind of how I felt with this. It's like, I would get to a point like this, where it's like the one chapter ends and another chapter's beginning, and it's like, oh, right, I'm reading something. Like, in my mind, when I think back to the story, I'm thinking of events and
I
actions.
Had to go to a party last night. I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning. I came home, I sat down and read this. And I was completely sober-minded when I read it. When I read this,
but it's like I have to remind myself that I didn't see an action happening.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a drawing of it. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Like I, you know, have you ever read something drunk? We're like,
no.
You'd be drunk.
Well, you know what I mean. Like when like you're blurred and like you can't focus on it.
No, like you get 3 pages ahead, and then you're like, wait, what did I just read 3 pages ago? I don't remember
right.
any
no,
of this.
No, I was completely focused on that when I read that last night.
Well, I have to admit, I went into this super jaded. I was like, it's Dark Crystal. How are they ever going to be able to compare? Because that movie was so
memorable. It's like a childhood memory.
And I got done with that, and I was ashamed of myself.
For even doubting it.
Yeah, it was that.
Hey, good. Give me another beer 30 o'clock.
You're going to do another 30
I'm
o'clock?
I'm going to do another beer 30.
What do you want?
I'm still finishing. I had another beer I started.
Oh, yeah, I just finished my PBR, so we're all over the place here.
Oh, well, I don't mean to distract you from your PBR.
Yeah,
which is
put your 30 o'clock away. I'm going to go back to PBR. Woo. Sorry, 30 o'clock isn't cutting it for
me. I've been hitting the
spot. It reminds me of like when I used to like go down to Carbondale and drink Black Label. That'd probably be about the same.
When I went to ISU, they had one of the fraternities had a rude beer night. And the idea was you could only get into the party if you brought at least a six-pack. So people would buy the cheapest six-pack they could. And the idea is you would give them your beer when you walked in the party, and they had trash cans full of ice. And they would just take the beer and stick it down in the ice. So you'd walk up to the guy and say, hand me a beer. And they'd just reach down and blindly hand you one. So there'd always be the guy who's like, oh, I brought Guinness because I like Guinness. And they're like, okay. And they take it from him. And he's like, oh, where's my beer? It's like, yeah, well, it's all, you're getting whatever random. You know, and he gets a PBR or, you know, whatever.
I like PBR.
He gets a Natty Light on ice, you know, something like that, you know.
Keith Stone.
But this would be, this totally would be for rude beer night. Like, this is totally like, it's like, what, the 30 cans for $12? Yeah, that's the one I'm taking to the party, you know what I mean?
Or to the Comaholics episode.
All right, well, that's another half hour.
Oh, no, that was great. That was very quick. Much quicker than... You know what the problem is? Has it been a long time since the last Comaholics?
It has. It's been a
while. That's why we had so much to cover there in that first segment.
But, you know, we don't have to cover it all.
No, we're going to cover it all. And the listeners are going to listen.
We didn't talk about Deadpool.
Yeah, I know, because it breaks my heart.
All right, so anyway, guys, we are going to save...
Tear up right now.
We are going to save Invincible for next time. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about Ultimatum, Ultimate Spider-Man, and Ultimate Comic Spider-Man.
And that may be another hour in itself. So
stay tuned.
Brace yourselves. Grab a beer.
Grab a beer 30 o'clock, light, and we'll be right back.
Well, it's Comaholic, so really, I mean, whatever.
Or scotch. Or wine.
Whatever involves alcohol.
Or whatever refinements. We'll talk to you later.
What's up, all? This is Sween Hollick from Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you're listening to a Primo Pop Culture Network podcast.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass. I host a show called Comic Nation TV, where the world of comic books and complete fandom collide. We have great reviews by Pop Culture Network's very own Dirt, and Comics Corner's reviewer, Ryan Porter, along with our newest member, Juan Pineda, who hosts The Art of Comics. So if you guys love comics, hope you check out our show, only on The Pop.
And don't forget to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you buy helps to keep us on the air. That's www.popculturenetwork.com.
Yeah, boy, that's why we back. We back for the second edition.
Second edition?
I don't know. You always split it up in all these chronological orders.
Oh,
I'm not going to define myself in chapters.
You know, I think this beer 30 is starting to hit me.
Oh, you would. You would.
Well, I better set this one out, because this beer 30 is
this
just...
purple can beer is too much for me. I can't take this.
Okay, fine. Pour some scotch. I'll have some... You're going to make fun of me. I'll drink some of that scotch. But I think I... Did I bring that bottle?
Hey, this is rare.
It says rare on the bottle. Yeah. He's on the bottle says
top.
Rare.
It's a twist top. It's rare.
Scotch with a twist
there
off
you
top.
Go. Ooh, ooh, oh.
Oh, I'm going to finish the bottle off, huh?
Here, I'll take it.
Excuse me.
There you go.
Oh, I can taste the pizza I had 6 hours ago.
6 hours ago?
Yeah.
Didn't you have any of the pizza I had here earlier?
Oh, yeah, you had pizza
oh,
too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had pizza twice today.
No wonder you taste pizza.
Boy, I had pizza and pizza.
All right, welcome back, folks. I hope you had a nice little intermission there.
Welcome to hour 12 of Comaholics. We're running on a 24-hour
program.
I
said it was going to be a really good episode. I should have said it's just going to be an epic episode.
It's going to be a really long and drunk episode. You know, I have to say, when we do the Comaholics Light, it's not long enough. Because it's like, you know, you get some sips
in. It feels like I have pressure. And you know what I've noticed, and I've tried really hard not to do it, but when Dirt isn't with me, I feel like Garth and like Wayne and Garth. Like I feel like I feel like I'm like all wrapped up in like a this like cocoon, and I don't know what to say. So I'm like, oh, and I counted it. It was like 54 times I said
Really?
Yeah.
I say all the time. I just don't care.
Okay.
So.
But it really bothered me that, like, I couldn't...
On the last time?
I couldn't keep it together. Like, I even had my sidekick
with together,
me.
Keep it together, keep it together, keep it together, keep it together.
I talked to you face to face, and you still couldn't...
It's like, they're after my gonads!
Hey, Laker girls!
Laker, I'm going to show it to the Laker girls.
Get these pencils, make sure they're sharp.
All right, if anybody's getting any of these references...
Wait, let's just throw this out right now. If you know what movie those last lines came from, send us an email. Send it to apocalypse@comaholics.com. Let them know what movie it's from. You're getting a shout-out on the next episode. If you can figure out what Keep It Together is from.
Right. Keep it together.
Keep it together. Keep it together. Keep it together. All right.
I'll go to Starbucks and get some pencils and get really sharp.
Sharp. Sharp. Sharp.
There you go. No more quotes. No more quotes.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about...
So we're going to talk about Ultimate Spider-Man. And we're going to start with Ultimatum.
No, yeah. We are not going to start with the original series that came out like 1990.
This is 2009.
Is that... When was Ultimatum? Was that 2009?
Ultimatum was before
2009. Well, what was Ultimatum?
Mitem.
Was that with Jemima's house?
Yes.
Jemima? Jemima?
I love her syrup.
Jemima?
It's very sweet.
All right, so Ultimate... Tell me... I asked you to look into Ultimatum and find out what it was about. So can you tell me what
Ultimatum starts off with New York City getting flooded.
Why did it get flooded?
Magneto...
Oh, it was an Aquaman?
No, it was not Aquaman.
Okay.
Much to Mr. Fantastic's surprise.
Oh, because he thought it would be Aquaman?
Yes.
Oh, weird.
Well, you act like this is a surprise to you.
Well, A, Aquaman is from DC. This is a Marvel book.
Did I say Aquaman? And,
yeah, I said Aquaman this whole time.
Oh, you threw me off.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Namor.
Yeah,
you did that on purpose. You
but
swine.
I haven't read.
You
I haven't,
swine.
I haven't read Ultimatum.
Oh, you haven't?
No, that's why I asked you to look into it.
It's just the backstory of how New York City gets flooded. And
because I know
there.
It was part of the reason why they ended the first series and started the second series. So tell me a little bit about
it. I haven't read
Ultimatum.
It all, though. No, I thought you had read it all.
No, I haven't
I was
going
to lean on you on
That's
this.
That's why I asked you to read it.
Oh, no, you... Whoa. We're going to do a face-off here in a second.
Why are we doing a face-off?
Because you said, well, I just want to bring up Ultimatum. Don't read it or anything. I just wanted to bring it up.
No.
Check it out.
I said to you... Let me find the text.
When you say check it out, you're saying actually read the entire script.
I didn't say read the entire thing.
So no, I haven't. I've read like the first couple issues of Ultimatum. But the gist of it I got is...
You're not Caleb. Hold on a second.
No, I'm not going to hold on. I'm going to keep talking.
Kelly's cousin. You're
the
not
listeners,
cousin. Hold
the
on.
Listeners do not want to hear me hold on a second. All right, so there's three segments to this discussion, and apparently we're not going to do the first segment.
I said, take a look at Ultimatum. You said, is that an ongoing title? I said, it's old. You said, how many issues? I said, I don't know. I'm not saying to read it. I'm saying look into it.
Okay, well, I downloaded them all, and I haven't read them all.
But did you... So basically, it's New York gets flooded?
Right.
And that's it?
And there's
that's
a backstory all you know? Behind that.
That's all you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's just stop that.
Okay.
And start from Ultimate Spider-Man.
You will get all your segments in.
Issue 150.
Okay,
right,
so...
You're right, Huckster.
No, not Ultimate Spider-Man 150.
Well, one going into 150, right. and then...
One to one... Well, one to 158... Well, was 160 when he died?
It's... Yeah. 160 dies. Peter Parker, we're talking about here. So we're starting with issue one.
Okay.
In this issue, it starts off with Peter Parker, who is a teenager, fighting, he looks like Sonic the Hedgehog, like throwing off all these like little rings.
What?
Yeah. I'm reading 150 here.
Yeah, don't start with 150.
Yeah, start with one. Okay.
Because it goes 1 through 16, I think, and then it jumps to like 150 after 16. Like it goes 16 and then 150.
Hold on, my tablet's going nuts here. I'm picking the wrong. No, the tablet's not going nuts.
Well, here, let me just say this. I was always a fan of Peter Parker as the high school kid who didn't fit in, didn't know anybody. He stood out from the crowd, and then, of course, he got the superpowers, so he didn't feel like he fit in with
anybody.
That's
the Peter Parker from Ultimate.
And so, Ultimate Spider-Man being, going back to that high school kid, I enjoyed that concept.
Okay.
Because I don't like him being grown up. I mean, I understand that, you know, sure, after 50 years being on the market, of course, he's older, married, gone through all that stuff, that's fine. But the idea of having him young again, I liked that idea. Mm-hmm. So the Ultimate Universe with Spider-Man being a kid again, I enjoyed. So when they came out with the new number one, I was like, I'm going to read this. Because right. I like
well,
the idea of
the
him.
Chronology is, the number one takes place after, okay... You're supposed to assume that you know that he is now dating Kitty Pryde, not Kitty Pryde, Gwen.
Right.
Gwen.
Well, but the thing is, you don't have to have read any of the old series.
No.
You can pick up that number one from 2009.
He's dating Gwen.
Right.
He's a high school student.
Right.
He is Spider-Man.
Gwen, he's living with Aunt May.
Gwen knows about it. Aunt May knows about it. Mary Jane knows about it. This is the Ultimate Universe, so obviously it's not the regular Marvel story.
There's not as many superheroes in this world.
No. Well, and...
There are and some, but
at this
not as
point,
many.
At this point, there is not, because several of them died in the flood
of Ultimate
in Manhattan.
Did Ultimate FF die in this universe? Do you know?
No, they're not dead. Johnny Storm's living with... Peter Parker. Susan Storm is alive.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's not important.
Right.
But anyway. Okay. So in this world, the first issue basically opens with him. He's working at a mall. He got a part-time job at a fast food place.
He's flipping burgers.
And, you know, he's doing that teenage kid.
Well, because he made a promise to Ben that he would... try to be a
try
civil...
Try to live a normal life.
Yeah.
He would try to have
be a
some
civil,
of that
obedient...
life. Right. And it's like the thing, every kid has to get a job at some point, you know, as a teenager, and your first job always sucks. You know, I was a paper boy, that was my first job, you know. So it's just pain in the ass. And his is, he's got to wear that stupid frog hat at the
right.
restaurant, at the fast food place at the mall. And so it opens up with this picture of him as a normal teenage kid. He just happens to have superpowers.
Right. But what's great at the end of this first issue is, you okay there?
Yeah, I'm okay. I just had a little itch in my nose there.
Wow. Who dies at the end of the first issue?
Your mom.
Wow.
That's terrible.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that not the answer you were looking for?
Who gets thrown out of a window?
I don't know. I'm seeing the covered issue, too.
Who gets thrown out of the window?
I don't know. Just tell me. Is your tablet freezing up?
No, it did freeze up.
Uh-huh. So what's it doing?
Yeah.
Right? I gotcha. I feel you. Just say what you were going to say.
No,
stop trying to...
No, I'm not going to.
Why not?
Because I lost my page.
You don't know what you're talking about?
No, I lost my page. Talking about the big man.
Kingpin
gets thrown out the window. By?
It's been a while since I read these.
What?
I read these when they came out. I have not read them since.
Mysterio. Thank you.
Mysterio.
Do I have to draw you a picture? No,
yes.
I have to show it to you on my tablet.
Because I haven't read those since they came out.
Okay. So that's how it starts off. The very first issue
is Kingpin getting thrown out of the window by the new Mysterio.
And who witnesses that?
You tell me. People. Human beings. Look, man, I've had two beer 30 o'clock lights.
In less than 30
so
minutes.
Am I going to have to take the reins on this show?
This is your segment.
That's why it's beer 30.
Oh, this is
you wanted to talk about Ultimate Spider-Man.
Okay.
This is your segment.
Okay. All right. I see how it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
You lead, I follow. This is the tango where you're the one in charge.
And I'm the wango.
I'm the woman in this tango. Okay. You're the man. Be a man. That's what I'm saying. Be a man. Step up. Take over this segment. This is all about you.
So Kingpin's dead.
Okay.
Okay.
And who witnessed it? Human beings.
Human beings.
He established that.
Wow. ultimately, we discover that Mysterio is actually responsible for the flooding of Manhattan. Okay.
Okay, so he was the one behind the...
Right.
Everything that happened.
Yeah. Which, you know what, I wish I would have read all of Ultimatum, because at the beginning of Ultimatum, you assume that it's Magneto. So there's a lot of backstory in there that I'm not familiar with. And, you know, the funny thing is, side note, the reason why I've been reading a lot of Ultimate Universe Marvel material, I'm extremely disappointed with a lot of the current titles going on in the Marvel Universe. That's why I've been reading a lot of Ultimate
It gives you
material.
A nice option of here's yes. a different history and a different set of characters.
Yeah.
And...
So, I mean, you know, let's be honest, that's why I'm doing it. What is your impression of what's going on with Peter Parker? Because this all develops into, ultimately, no pun intended, Iceman and Johnny Storm and Gwen.
And Kitty Pryde.
And Kitty Pryde. Well, no, Kitty. I'm talking about living under the house of Aunt May.
Oh, all moving into Aunt May's house?
Yes.
So you basically get, like, this house for wayward teens.
Right.
These people move in, and Johnny Storm dyes his hair to try
black.
To hide.
He dyes his blonde hair black.
Because he wants to look different. And basically, all these kids just basically want to get away from being superheroes. They want to try to have this normal life. They want to try to live.
And then the teenage drama involved is Mary Jane has accepted that Gwen is
Peter's girlfriend.
And Gwen has made quite clear that she influenced Peter to make him his girlfriend. You know, like, she kind of persuaded him.
she forced him to,
right.
to love her.
Right.
Right.
And through all of this, Peter is trying to basically solve this mystery of who Mysterio is. Is it really Mysterio? And what exactly is he fighting here?
Let me just say this real quickly. Because you brought up the point of the whole, you know, love triangle and whatever type of stuff. A lot of teen books fall into one of two categories. Like, Avengers Academy. A couple months ago, I told you how much I loved Avengers Academy.
Well,
it was my favorite book.
Veil.
And now I can't stand Avengers Academy because it turned into an after-school ABC special. Books that have teenage casts fall into one of two categories. They either become... the ABC After School Special, or they become the Melrose Place of youngins.
Or at the very bottom of the barrel, they end up on Lifetime.
Oh, a Lifetime movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that kind of goes with the ABC After School Special. But it's either like they have to do some sort of morality play every issue. You have to learn something because knowing is half the battle. Or it becomes into, well, Sandra loves David, but David has a thing for Tanya, but Tanya used to go out with the head of the football team. You know, and it falls into all of those stupid soap opera, you know, it's like Smallville.
It's
you
like
know,
I would just rather just stop watching all that and just watch the Golden Girls.
Actually, well, the Golden Girls are hot.
That's right.
It's sexy. If I want to see some sexy, I'm going to watch some B. Arthur. But the thing I liked about Ultimate Spider-Man is, like, yes, you do have this stuff where it's like, he used to date Mary Jane, he broke up with her.
But there's, like, a complete, like, divide between that and him, like, what I like about it is, like, there's raw grit of him being this, like, teenage kid trying to, like, because in this...
He's trying
really,
to live a normal life.
Right.
But he knows he's got superpowers, and he's got
to
step up
and
with
he
much
has
power.
Obligation, and he
goes
great
responsibility.
Back to, yes,
and,
Ben.
Right.
Ben,
but it never falls into those traps. You never feel like you're watching the morality play of the after-school special, and it never feels like you're watching that bad teenage soap opera.
No.
I don't know if growing up... Did you ever hear of Swan's Crossing growing up? It was like the teenage soap opera.
Is that when,
time.
Like, a lesbian, like, hits a bridge and she doesn't know how to cross it?
There's so much silence after that.
Hold on, let me finish this beer.
Yeah, yeah. You drove us to drink.
But the point is, it never falls into those traps. So when we, like, if you've never read Ultimate Spider-Man or Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, which was the name of the relaunch.
Great introduction to me, because this was my first
Ultimate
foot into Ultimate.
Well, you read Ultimate FF.
Okay, yeah.
So, but,
well, I actually kind of read them simultaneously.
But it never collapsed into that teenage soap opera drama, and that's the thing I enjoy about it. All of these relationships that happen between the characters feel natural, and they just happen. They don't feel forced.
Whoa.
You never have those fake confrontations. You never have any character who's like, oh, well, that's the head cheerleader, that's the head jock, that's the nerd. Like, they don't fall into those regular categories that you expect. Yeah, the stereotypes. That's the problem that Avengers Academy has now, which is why I can't stand it. And the Ultimate Spider-Man book never did that. And in fact, still doesn't to this day, but we'll get there in a little bit. So, we got about 16 issues of Ultimate Spider-Man before it reverted back to the old numbers and went back to
150.
So we can kind of break it up. You can break it up into like the first section.
Okay.
And then the second.
Let's break it up into the stories, because that's the best way to do it.
Okay.
You've got, okay. Backtrack. Let's break up in the characters. That'd be easier.
Okay.
Aunt May.
Sure.
Hot. Okay.
B. Arthur.
That's right.
She's like B. Arthur hot.
She's got some curves. I'll give her that. Aunt May's story in this is she feels like she's filling that Ben void. The loss of her husband.
And she's also filling in for his parents.
Right.
Peter's parents. Which makes sense.
But she also becomes like this surrogate foster mother for these superhero kids. You know.
And she goes
back and forth of, no, alright, that's it. Stop being superheroes. Act like kids. Knock it off. And then she's like, no, you need to be superheroes now. Hurry up! Be a superhero!
She's trying to help them find that balance.
Right.
Where it's like, there are times where it's appropriate.
And she's like the toughest character of the group, really. Like, as far as being centered,
well,
mentally.
She's the one who ends up telling off Captain America.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that takes some cojones. Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah, with no fear. With no fear. She's like the daredevil of
it. Yeah, so, I mean, she's definitely a strong character. Like, when you want to talk about a strong female character who's very real, that would be Aunt May of the Ultimate Universe.
Now, the Peter Parker in this is, his character in this is where you've got this fresh outlook of becoming a superhero and trying to find a moral imperative in all of this. You know, I think it kind of gets to that core of what Spider-Man is all about and why we love Spider-Man so much. Where this desire to, like, kind of embrace, like, you know, that humanity, something we can relate to.
Okay.
He's the most relatable. I think Spider-Man is probably the most relatable superhero to the common man.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you've got Iceman in this, which they don't give a lot of backstory as far as, like, his grab.
Well,
he
comes out of Ultimate X-Men, so if you've read the X-Men books, you're going to know about him. But, I mean, as far as this goes, you don't really need that history.
And then you've got Johnny Storm, who...
Out of the FF.
...has lost his father. Mm-hmm. There's not much talk of his mother. He reconciles with his sister. And he's trying to fit in, but he's still got this, like, super ego of I'm from the Fantastic Four, you know. And then you've got Gwen, who obviously is a girl, gets what she wants, knows what's going on, but she seems like the coolest of all of them, of the two chicks, between her and Mary Jane. Like, nothing really affects her until the very end.
Right.
You know. You've got Mary Jane, who's torn because she's been in love with Peter Parker the whole time. It's breaking her up that she's with Gwen, but she's a big enough person that she holds it back and lets it happen
But in the end, you know, she wants Peter.
But again, it never, you know, saying that, like, I understand what you're saying, and I agree, but it never feels...
That was the primary concern.
Yeah, and it never feels like a soap opera. Like, with all of that.
No, but I'm just trying to break down the story.
I know, I know. And I agree.
To what was going on in the other parts of the story?
Right. Like, that was never... The focus of the book was never like, oh my gosh, who's he taking to prom? Like, you know, Archie, Veronica, Betty type of thing. Even though that's technically what it is, like, you never feel like that takes over. Like, the number one thing is always the superhero thing. But part of the superhero thing is he's got to deal with that stuff. So that's his life. But it's never... You never feel like the story breaks down.
Well, and what I was going to get to next is like the villains. Let's talk about the villains now.
Okay, so Mysterio, obviously, he's really badass in this version.
Yes, he's wicked.
Right, like in the regular Marvel universe, he is
kind
moments,
of like a B. He's like a B villain.
He really is. He's really the guy who tries hard to be a villain, but for the most part, everybody kind of laughs at him.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in this version, Mysterio is total badass. Let's see. There's the Sinister Six in this version that ultimately leads to his death later on. I don't think this run really dealt with Venom or Carnage at all.
Catwoman. Or not Catwoman.
Black Cat.
Black Cat. You got Black Cat in this. So.
She's the she's older kinda like lady trying to hit on the younger kid.
Right, yeah.
She's got a little bit of that... you know, forbidden love, May December romance.
Whoa. We're missing something in here. I feel like we're missing some backstory in here that we're not quite covering, leading up to Peter Parker's death. Because we all know this leads up to issue 160, where Peter Parker, and if you're going to kill Peter Parker, I thought they couldn't have done it much better.
I kind of felt like they dragged it on a bit too long.
Well, for me, maybe because I read it all back-to-back, it didn't feel that way. I felt like the way they released his death, the way it came about, was simple and effective.
Well, you know? Okay, let's jump ahead then to that storyline. Because basically, it starts with him being in the middle of basically a fight happening between the Ultimates... where Punisher and Captain America are at odds.
Right.
And his Peter Parker's there to talk to Captain America. His spider sense tingles. He knows something is about to happen. And he basically jumps in to save Captain America. And he ends up getting shot by the Punisher. So Punisher's sniper rifle about to take out Captain America.
So he's already got he's got like a bullet to the gut.
Yeah. So it's like he can survive that. But that's not a happy wound
to
have.
Yeah, he's like hit it with a spider web to like stop the blood.
Right. So,
but you know, he's not Wolverine, so he's not going to regenerate here.
So he's got to get home.
Yeah.
So he starts heading home.
But.
And it turns out the Sinister Six have figured out who he is and where he lives and who these other people are in his house. And so they decide that they're going to attack the people he loves in order to draw him out. So they attack Aunt May's house. And he sees this happening, so he realizes he's got to rush in to try to save them. And, of course, Iceman's there. Kitty Pryde is there.
Isn't that beautiful?
You know,
that's 159.
All these people are there to try to stop the Sinister Six, but he still feels like he's got to get involved. Because this is his fight.
This is what he's talking about here, 159 leading up to 160.
So, already reeling from this gunshot wound... He decides he still has to be a hero.
Right.
He could leave it to everybody else to fight it, but he feels like this
is his
fight.
He knows that he has to be the one to stop it.
This is his fight. He's got to get involved. So he takes on the Sinister Six with the help of everybody else. And basically, he defeats them. He's able to save Aunt May. He's able to save Mary Jane. He's able to save Gwen Stacy. But fighting, you know... Kraven and I think Vulture.
Not a good picture. Go back to that. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh yeah.
How do you go backwards to this?
I know, it's great art in this. Great art.
So eventually he fights everybody off and he wins. But as soon as he wins, and he stops to take a breath, he just basically collapses.
Right.
And that's it.
And then he dies.
Right. And see, the problem is, the time in between where he gets shot and when he collapses is like 4 or 5 months. You know? So at the time
but
when it came out...
But it's happening in a matter of minutes.
Right. But, so for me, reading it on the stands, oh, as it comes out, it's like...
Yeah.
It's but like, see, it's been 4 months. Is he dead yet?
But for me, it was like, bing, bang, boom.
Right.
Because I read it back to back.
Chip, chop, chip.
Yeah.
You're right there. So, so yeah, that does make a difference on how you kind of look at it, you know, sitting down to read it.
So how did you feel the aftermath went? Because obviously in Aftermath, Captain America takes it really hard.
He feels responsible because he was the one fighting. You know, he couldn't.
Okay, which goes back to the first episode, issue one, where they're all sitting around thinking about what they're going to do with this kid who thinks he's a superhero. Like, Iron Man, it's the Ultimates sitting around. It's Iron Man, Captain America.
Was Thor there?
Thor's there. Basically, those are the three guys that are talking about.
Which are basically the main Avengers in the regular universe, right, as well. So,
and they're like, what are we going to do with this kid? And Thor, actually, everybody is on board with, let's work with this kid. Except
he obviously has power.
Except for Cap. Cap's like, no, this kid is trouble. He's, you know, he's on a path of destruction.
Basically, Captain America says he's undisciplined.
Right.
And he thinks that he needs to mature more. Right. Whereas the other two are, like, basically saying the only way he's going to come to terms is if we take him under our wing and teach him how to deal with
it. And which, one thing we haven't mentioned is they decide they're going to send him to school and teach him how to be a superhero. So, which is really funny. I think it's great. So, what happens? Tony Stark shows up in his Iron Man suit in the front yard of Aunt May's house. Like, okay, I'm here to pick up Spider-Man.
Right, which kind of gives away the whole secret identity,
right,
and everything.
It's like, it's you, like, dumbass!
Right.
Which I thought, like, tied in really well of, like, yeah, that sounds like Tony Stark, you know?
Well, like, he didn't know, you know?
But yeah, it's just so Tony Stark. I mean, yeah. I like how the ultimate Tony Stark is just as much of a pompous.
Well,
ass.
He's basically the movie version, yeah, of, he's right, Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. as Iron Man, you know. So basically, he dies, and then you would think that that's kind of the end of the story, except that they did a series called Ultimate Fallout.
Right,
which basically dealt with everybody
dealing
with the loss. Basically, they did the funeral. Everybody knew Peter Parker then was obviously Spider-Man. You had all these people turn out for his funeral. All the superhero people, all the regular citizens, people who, like, just random people, he saved their life. Like, they want to pay their
Kitty
respects.
Kitty Pryde is pissed, though.
Because she was kind of, towards the end of the series, she was kind of the new girlfriend. He fell in love with her, but Gwen was being all pushy and everything. So you did have that, you know, soap opera-ish relationship, you know, type of thing going on. But again, it was never the focus. It never took away from the superhero stuff. But Kitty really feels like she was on the verge of having this relationship with Peter Parker, and they never got the opportunity. So this is an opportunity stolen from her, part of her life that's missing that she was going to have. And so
she ain't going to get no Peter Parker
and
booty.
So, yeah, no booty. But it did a really good job, I think, of showing how all the different characters dealt with the loss of this kid. And again, this is where we get to the part where we talked about earlier, where Aunt May tells off Captain America. Captain America comes up and he says, I take responsibility for
this. We're missing something as far as, like, description of the ultimate villains here. Is this all ties around Osborn, too? And explain to me how Osborn turns into this demon man. How does that come about?
What do you mean?
When, in this, Osborn is, like, turns into, like, this, like, not necessarily the goblin, but also, like, this, like, demon monster. And he, like... He assembles this team to go attack Spider-Man at his house.
In this universe...
And in the end, it's a great showdown where, like...
He knows...
They show up to, like, go... They, like, basically knock on the door and say, bring out Spider-Man, and he's not there... And they're, like, ready to, like, you know, trample on
Gwen and Aunt May, and then down the street, walking up the street, is Spider-Man.
If I remember,
with this, like, gunshot to the gut, and he's hold on, I want to describe this. Gunshot to the gut, and he's like walking up, going, "Bring it."
Okay, you know? If I remember correctly, in this world, Osborn knows Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Right.
He knows that he was bitten by a radioactive spider.
Right.
So he starts a series of experiments where he takes different spiders, different radiations, different dosage, trying to recreate that Spider-Man event. And then when he thinks he has a pretty good idea of what happens, he tries to recreate that on himself. So he wants to have the same powers because he doesn't think it's fair that this little kid gets these powers, whereas he's this rich, powerful guy, and he doesn't have these powers. And what he ends up doing is infecting himself with a variation of the power.
And turns him into this demon.
And it basically changes his physiology, and he's able to transform into this different form. So it's not what happened to Spider-Man. But it's part of his process of trying to attempt to recreate that.
Right.
So that's why he's different, if I remember correctly.
I'm just now going back and reading some of this Ultimate stuff, so maybe I'll be able to have more backstory into this next time. So.
But basically, he felt jealous that Peter had these powers, and that Peter had these abilities,
right.
and he didn't. And so that's why he puts together the Sinister Six, and goes after him.
Right.
Because he wants to kill him and get rid of him because he has that inferiority complex, the same way like Lex Luthor hates Superman. He hates Superman because Superman is so much bigger and stronger than he is, so he feels like, I've got to do something to destroy him so that I feel more important. So that sets up the whole death, the whole attack and everything.
So moving beyond Fallout, let's just set this, let's like,
so in Fallout was 6 issues, and right. I think in issue 4, you get this new guy
right.
in a Spider-Man suit who runs out, saves somebody. People are like, oh my gosh, is that
this
Spider-Man?
This is so inappropriate.
Yeah, they basically get mad that there's someone new dressed up as Spider-Man. But he seems to have the same powers. He does the same type of stuff. He seems to be about the same age, same size, everything. So people start to question, is that really
Spider-Man?
Does he come back from the dead somehow, you know? Was he just molting when they thought he was
dead?
But
you know what's great is? In the artwork, you can tell the uniform's not up to par.
It looks like something I bought online
when I bought Kick-Ass 2 years ago. And, you know, my wife was Hit-Girl, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you could tell, like...
It's a costume as opposed to a uniform.
It was a knockoff.
Right. And he reveals himself, takes off the mask, and you see that he's a black kid,
right.
not Peter Parker. And he just goes, maybe this costume was a bad idea, and then boom, it ends that segment
right.
and goes into other stuff. And you don't see him again until Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number 1.
Right.
So, you know, it deals with the different characters in Fallout. And then when you finally get to the new series, Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number 1... You find out it's Miles Morales is this new character who's the new Spider-Man.
And Miles, it starts off where he is trying to get into this like really good parochial school, and it's basically like a lottery.
Like
system.
He's a smart kid.
Yeah, but there's a lottery system to even get into it.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
for
well,
smart kids.
Well,
like,
probably
like a pile of smart kids.
Yeah, that's
right.
What happens here too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have a group that they take that get through admissions. And then there's the leftovers, because they only have so many spots. So like 90% of the spots go through normal admissions, and then they have this 10% that went through a lottery.
Right.
Right, to get into those extra spots. Right. Who's going to get lucky and get
so in? So he's there with his mother and father.
Right.
And he's trying to get into it. And then he gets drawn into it.
Right.
So then he goes to his uncle's house. To talk about it, because apparently, like...
His dad and his uncle do not get along.
He's forbidden to go to his uncle's house, because from what I can gather, he seems like a gangbanger drug dealer.
He's a dirtbag somehow.
Yeah,
you don't know exactly how at
right.
first, but...
I'm sure it's going to tie into... And, you know, obviously, he's probably going to have to fight him at some point, is what I'm gathering. Because we're only talking about 4 or 5 issues
right.
into the new
you gotta start
title.
Small.
Yeah. So he goes to his house. Back up just a little bit. his uncle's kind of like a cat burglar, and broke into this facility
that Osborne used to own.
Right. Stole something, which is like this weird object. And while he's doing this, this spider crawls into his bag, and it's like number 46 or something. I don't remember what number it is. So then you stop there. So then Miles goes over to his uncle's house, and he's hanging out with his uncle, and there's this bag sitting on the couch or on the table, and the spider crawls out. And the spider bites him. And then a day later, he turns into Spider-Man.
Now, the thing is, I'm reading this, and it feels so contrived.
Like it's set up.
Like, oh, he just happens to have this duffel bag, he just happened to have the spider crawl in, and then the spider crawls out, just happens to bite Miles. But the as soon as I think, like, oh, that's so cheesy of a setup, I remember, well, what's Spider-Man's original one?
Right.
He's on a field trip.
Right.
They're at this place.
He's taking pictures.
Right. He goes to take a closer look. There happens to be a spider loose. There just happens to be a spider that goes through the radiation. That spider just happens to land on him and bite him, right. And then he gets the power. So it's like it's no but less stupid than the original Spider-Man.
I think what's more important is what continues on after that.
Right.
And with Miles, it's a different perspective than the way Peter Parker took it. A little bit.
Well,
but it's pretty much the same.
Peter Parker had to learn through very close personal tragedy.
Right.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Whereas Miles...
Miles doesn't have that.
Yeah, Miles is just like, holy crud, you know?
He's fighting... He has to work much harder on his own to figure out what to do with the powers, what it means to be responsible.
Well, here's what I took from it.
Okay.
The responsibility part is the definition between his uncle
and
his father. His father is the role model, because here's the backstory you learn. When his uncle and father were younger, something happened. They were both criminals. Something happened. His uncle took the heat, and his father got away. But then his father decided, okay, I'm going to live the straight and narrow. You know, and then he has his son, and you know, decides to be a good father, and it continues on from there. And then his uncle is still this shady character. Yeah.
Like, well, did you feel like...
But he hides the criminal life from his son, his past life, you know, his criminal background.
But did you feel like his dad let the uncle take the rap for it, or was it more that his dad didn't really want to be involved, and so when it came down, he said, my brother got me into this, I'm going to let him...
I think he took the rap for something.
But what I mean is, did the dad unfairly let his brother take the fall for it, or was it the dad used that as his way to get out of it because he didn't want to be in it in the first place?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Well, but what do you think? What's your interpretation?
I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I think...
Do you think it's unfair that Miles' dad got away scot-free?
Yes.
Okay. See, I see it differently. I see it like when whatever happened went down, his dad was like, I didn't want to be involved with this in the first place.
Decision.
Like, I never wanted to be here.
No, I think there's going to be a gray moral decision there. I think it's going to come down to, there was probably a moral decision to be made, and his father was involved somehow. He tore himself from it, but he was involved.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm sure he was involved. But did he want to be?
Well, whether he wanted to be or not, he was freaking involved. Oh!
Where are we at here?
Gosh, we're
40 minutes into this one. We're going to have to do a little edit.
so loud.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, anyway, regardless.
Yeah.
How do you feel Miles compares to Peter Parker?
Well, first of all, does he have the same powers as Spider-Man?
Yes.
Well, except he's got a few differences.
I was going to say, I heard that he has some differences.
He could turn invisible.
Well, that's handy.
Well, it's not... I don't think he turns invisible, but he can camouflage himself to the environment.
Oh, okay.
Which some spiders can do.
He's like a predator.
So he's got the ability to blend into his surroundings. He can still climb the walls. I think he can still shoot the webs.
From his skin.
He
doesn't have to have web shooters. like right. in Marvel.
I was thinking there was something else he did. Does he have a poison? I can't remember. There was something else that stood out.
I know, I was going to reread
but I mean, 90% is basically the same.
It's just a few different. Extra things that right. keep it new.
Right. Well, and also because it's, you know, Osborn was trying to recreate the original experiment and didn't quite, never really quite figured it out. So this one seems to be pretty close.
A different mix.
Right. So he was almost there.
But if, I have to say, if you're going to pick up an Ultimate title, this is a lot of fun.
Well, Miles is a character that, well, okay, let me just say this. The problem I had when they killed Peter Parker and said he was going to be replaced by Miles was not the fact that they were killing Peter Parker and replacing him. It was the fact that they were saying, hey, look at us, diversity. You know what I mean? Because the headline...
But it doesn't seem to be the issue at
right,
all.
But the headline of USA Today was, like, part black, part Latino, all hero.
Yeah, it made international headlines
right.
on BBC, too.
But the headline was not that they were replacing Peter Parker with a new character.
Yeah, that's right.
It was, look, diversity. Look, a minority.
But when you read the comic...
I know, but what I'm saying is, that was how they sold it to the masses, was look at what we're doing for the sake of diversity. When you read the story,
it doesn't feel that way at all. No,
so, you know, I originally went into it going like, this is a stunt, you right. know. This is obviously a I mean, they're
to
commercial. They are
in.
Commercial enterprise. They want to sell books,
yeah,
make
to
money.
Pull in diversity.
That's what any company
yeah.
does. But it seems so
not
hackneyed.
Like they're trying to hit a certain audience,
right?
But it's not though.
Yeah.
No. When you read it,
but when you read it, it feels very natural. It feels like a good progression, and I like the character. I really like
yeah.
Miles. He feels like a real kid. You know, you.
Oh, and I like his buddy.
Yeah, the little fat kid
yeah.
who wants him to be the superhero. You gotta do it, man! You gotta do
Which
it!
Which kind of reminded me of Superior.
In a way that his friend keeps
yeah.
kind of pushing him into being the guy. But, you know, so I had this kind of natural, like, I'm gonna hate this going into it. Because I hate when they force an issue
it's
like
gimmicky.
That. Yeah. Like, if you naturally do it, if you naturally have a progression of characters, that's fine. And I understand that things have to change over time. But when your headline is half black, half Latino, all hero, then it's not about a natural progression
yeah,
of story.
Weak.
It's
I'd
about
love to talk
the fact
to their,
that they
I'd
force.
Like to talk to their publicity guy on that one. Because that
and,
wasn't necessary.
And that's how Marvel sent out their press releases. You know, that was... what they were trying to sell it for.
It's unnecessary.
So when you actually sit down and read it, you know, and you read this character, you know, I really felt for the kid. I like the kid. I hope he succeeds. I hope he doesn't have to go through everything that Peter Parker went through. You
right.
know what I mean?
Like
you know he is,
a
but...
A fresh perspective of Spider-Man, where, like, it's more about the core of the character.
Well, but also because... Reading through Death of Spider-Man, it's like he's shot. He goes to save his aunt. He goes to save his friends. He stands up for what's right. He ends up dying in the end. Everybody around him got hurt because of what happened.
What was the happiness in all this?
Right. Like, what was the point of being Spider-Man? Like, you died, and now life sucks for everybody you ever knew.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, congratulations!
Yeah.
That's what it means to be
yeah,
a superhero.
Aunt May and,
Gwen and Kitty
Pryde. Gwen
moved
to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
On Tony Stark's bill, basically, moved to Paris.
Like just to try to start a new life.
Yeah.
Try to forget what happened.
Get away,
move on. Yeah.
yeah.
So, it's like... the.
I'll tell you what's going to suck, though, is if they bring Peter back.
They better not. You better never see Peter Parker again in the Ultimate Universe. You know, if they... That would invalidate so much of what they've done. You know what I mean? It's... Oh, man...
I'll tell you what, if that happens, we will devote an entire Comaholics to it, and we will rip it apart.
I would, I don't know, I would have to make
we'll
a party
you
at
die.
A Comic-Con. Like, we would have to go to C2E2 and get thrown out. Like, that's what would happen.
Like, watch out, Marvel Publications. That
it's like road trip.
Pretty.
Like, we're going Taliban on Marvel. We gotta do something. That would be
sit in.
That would be so wrong.
A sit in. No, right.
Yeah, we're 99%, man. We're 99%.
99% of people that hate you for being a Black Spider-Man.
Overall, are we pleased with the whole
Yeah, overall, I am happy with the way the story played out and with the new character that they brought in who has, again, that youthful feel that is missing from the mainline Spider-Man books. I mean, one thing I hated about the movies, the Spider-Man movies, as much as I think Spider-Man 2 was great, I love that movie. I was disappointed in the first one, totally hate the third one.
Right.
But the thing I really was upset about most with the Spider-Man movies was that in the movies, he's in high school for like 20 minutes. And then right. It's like... He's a kid in college fighting in the
now
real
he's
world
like
with
trying
a job.
To survive in New York.
I always loved that idea that as a teenager, it's hard to find your peer group. You don't always feel like you fit in.
Flipping burgers.
You feel different from everybody. And then here's Peter
Parker.
Girls
don't like you.
Well, Peter Parker, yeah. he's a nerd. He's into science. That's never going to get you chicks. But then he has superpowers. So he doesn't fit in. He has this secret life. So he can't have close friends. So he is different from the other teenagers in the way that you always have those teenager feelings, but it doesn't have to be like bad emo poetry and painting your fingernails.
He did
black.
Have a support group, though. He did have Iceman and Johnny Storm in the end.
Right, right. So I mean, he does find that group, but part of finding that group is that process, that journey right. you have to go through,
which
in order
was
to
his
find
maturation
it.
Leading
right.
up to
which is
death.
Something that I hated that the movies kind of skipped over all that stuff. Right. I always thought that was key to the character. And so with Miles Morales, it's like you're kind of going back in time, because he's younger than Peter Parker
was. He's like 14 or 15
years
old.
I mean he's
a kid.
Right. He's very much youthful. But at the same time, he knows as soon as he has these powers that he's in a whole different world.
Right. There's a moral lesson.
You think that the point of Spider-Man, when you said what was the point of him dying, was that he inspired the next generation, I
sure.
guess.
Well, yeah. But I mean,
like,
that was the point?
Well, no, because it goes back. You see a step back where Miles Morales actually was there when Peter died.
Oh, right. He saw part of it go down.
Yes. Right. He was in the crowd watching Peter die.
So he knows what the cost is of being a superhero, and now he finds himself
so,
being a superhero.
Stress.
So the development of this could be marvelous. I mean, no pun intended, Marvel. You wow. got some potential here with this ultimate character. I mean,
you have
set it up great. Okay.
So the question is,
how are you going to finish?
Yeah, can he follow through? Can Bendis right. follow through on this storyline?
Which I think Bendis can. I mean,
which I mean, Bendis has had his moments, but he's also had his secret invasions. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's had some really great, and then he's had Siege that he's
right.
I'm hoping that he can stay focused on this book and not get too drawn out in other things where this becomes a secondary project to him and he loses that focus, because there is something, because he's kept what Spider-Man means, what Spider-Man stands for. I strongly agree, Dirt.
I've seen Bendis do this before.
Right.
Where, like, he wanes on it. He wanes on the storyline where it's like, you feel like he's just wrapping it up.
Like, you feel like there was something there he was building towards.
But then he just wraps it up to the
end. Yeah. He lost interest, or he just lost focus,
or he gets so excited
on what's going to happen next,
or
that what he's currently working
right,
on
just
is just
it.
Yeah.
Or
just
we may not know. There may be a timeline where he's like, okay, this is your deadline, make it happen.
Right.
You know, we don't know.
Right.
But you know, I mean, no dishonor to Bendis at all.
So it sounds like it has a lot of potential, though.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a book. And I think that the new series with Miles Morales stands out as something where, if you've never read any Ultimate, you've never read Spider-Man before.
Just as well with this as you would with Peter Parker number one.
Right. If you've got a family member who's, 14 years old, 15 years old, might be kind of interested in comics, never really read anything before, you could get him the first couple issues. He's going to have no problem.
He's going to be hooked.
There's nothing about it where you have to be familiar with the universe. You can start with that first issue and catch up on it. And in fact, Marvel printed what they called a must-have, where they took the first three issues and they printed them together in one, you know, thick comic of the first three issues, and I think it's like $5.99, something like that. So you can pay $6.
That's like a good starter set.
Yeah, and get the first three issues of it right there, because those are the hardest ones to find. You know, those are the ones that have been second print, third print, you know, whatever, always sell out. You can get those first three issues together in one book, pretty cheap. If you want to wait for a trade to come out, I'm sure the first trade paperback is going to come out soon, but you can also go on Comixology, pay, I think it's $1.99 an issue. You can download all those, the first issues there and get familiar with it. But it is one of those things that I don't think you really have to be familiar with the Ultimate Universe at all. You know, what you know from Spider-Man from Saturday morning cartoons and the movies is going to be enough to get you, you know, familiar with the universe, because they've laid it out well enough that, you know, you can get all the information you need from just that one book.
But if you are familiar,
yeah, then it does tie in very well with all that other stuff.
Well, no, I think that's what's the biggest draw for me, being this, is other than Ultimate Fantastic Four, was to pick up this. It is an easy transition. If you're, you know, because I read a lot of ASM before I picked up this.
Right.
You know, so.
But it does feel different and similar at the same time.
But I plan on doing my research. I'm going to read up all of Ultimatum. I've got it in order. I just haven't read it all yet. So I'll give you a little quick
history.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We've already gone 53 minutes on this now. I don't know if we need to revisit it.
No.
Next time. Because this episode is going to be like 2.5 hours as it is once I get it all edited together. So...
anything else?
Oh, gee, I don't know. I mean, we talked about so much tonight. I don't know if there is anything else to talk about.
I feel like we just gave birth to a lot of information.
It was painful and long.
No, it was
I'm ready to pass out.
Yeah.
Like, it's after 1 o'clock in the morning. What time is it?
I don't know.
About 10 after 1?
Yeah. It's been a night.
This is the latest I've been up in a long time.
At least we don't have to work tomorrow.
Nope, none of us have to. Because it's what, tomorrow? MLK.
Yeah, Martin Luther King birthday tomorrow, so.
I always like how we, like, tie in a holiday so people can have a frame of reference. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hand me a beer 30 o'clock.
Dirt wants a big blue.
Every 30 minutes.
What do you want? What
it's
do you want,
powerful
I'm
purple.
I'm finishing up my paps right now.
Okay, PBR. PBR, you please. Thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget, there's a little contest information there.
Yeah, if you can figure out what those quotes are from, remember to email apocalypse@comaholics.com if you know where it came from.
yeah. Issue 17.
Issue?
Episode. Sorry, I get confused. I'm drunk. Leave me alone!
It's past one.
Oh no, my car is turned back into a pumpkin.
You know, again, I just want to emphasize, you know, this show is all about, you know, this is fans for fans, but we would love feedback, you know.
Well, if a certain Mr. Somebody would come to the forums every so often. Maybe.
I do every so often, Mr.
Yeah, okay, how about a little every so often more?
You know what, I'm not getting enough response. Maybe that's why I'm not participating enough, so...
Well, type something more than "I really like this."
What? Okay. Apparently, Dirt thinks I need to try harder, folks. Mm. But you know, I've got this big fancy tablet now, so it's right at my fingertips.
Oh, that's what was holding you back.
Yeah. So, apocalypse at ineedcomics.com.
Comaholics.com.
You know, let me know what you think of the show. Let me know something that you know you want us to review. We'd love to hear it, because you know, again, you know, sometimes I feel like we veer off a little bit sometimes and get
or a lot sometimes.
Well, no, on the main premise of the show, as far as like covering obscure stuff that you would not normally pick up off the shelf. Hmm. And I think we try hard sometimes to try to, like, pick titles that you would never hear of normally. And, you know, and I don't mind that we review the Marvel and DC stuff. But, you know, I think it's great when we get those, like,
We can cover other stuff that
you guys let us know you want to, guys and gals that you want us, you know, review. So give us some feedback.
All right. Well, don't forget, you can come to ineedcomics.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. You can join the forums, get in on some of the discussion. Also, you can send us emails, of course, at dirt@comaholics.com or apocalypse@comaholics.com. You can also leave us a voicemail message by calling our 24-hour voicemail line at area code 217-953-4025. We'll slow down and do that again. It's area code 217-953-4025. And again, that's a voicemail line. So for those of you who call in and go, hello? 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 Yeah, we're not picking that up. It's voicemail. We don't hear that. It's straight to a computer. So anyway, thanks for listening, guys. And we will see you next time on the Comaholics.
Yeah.
Any quote? Any words of wisdom to close out with?
Just that if you try to pull that stuff in the semis, I'll snatch that pistol away from you, shove it up your...
Okay, all right. Click. Good night.